And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEAU Tiefel Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. See, Bob gets to see it in person. Mr. Robert Anderson is going to be spending time with us and everything. .com.
Good morning, Ernest.
See, you got to be able to do that. You'll give me a .com?
.com.
See. Okay, we're recuperating from New Year's Eve. I'm up, but you're not going to see my pretty bloodshot face. It's not that bad. I'm just like. Because we don't get... I have guests. I really got to do this other camera. I got the green screen thing to put up.
No, not the camera.
And Dean, helped me out with a checklist, cheat sheet of how I do the green screen on the thing and this and that. It's like work, man. Like when I had a board op. do everything. But I did this so I can just do it all myself. So what we're going to do is we'll have graphics up. And but Bob has a bunch of pictures and videos too, right?
One on there, yeah.
Yeah, so videos of his greenhouse and what he's doing out there in the desert. Because what I wanted to do today is the 1st of January, 2015. Ew, we're in 2015. I remember when we were in school. Ooh, in 2000, I'd be 30-something, It's 2000. It's 2010. It's 2015. And we thought some stuff was going to happen, since we've known each other, winter of 93.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So that's what? That's 20-something years. So it's been a while. So we were like, young guy. Of course, he had Phil Donahue, gray hair back then, too. Silver hair, anyway. But, so what we're going to talk about is what we're going to be doing in 2015. I don't even know what I was talking, Barry and I were driving up somewhere, a trailer, get a freezer thing for him. And we're driving around, and I'm going, what I should do? I have a blog, Ernest Hancock blog. It's kind of accessible through the site, and it goes into another page. It's Ernest, whatever. And that blog was when I ran for national chair, and I was putting up all my stuff, and I'd write and kind of regular, and this is why and what for. And I go, I think I should take that blog and start doing daily entries, okay? Well, I take that for 2015 because it's going to be 2015. The prediction is... it's going to be 2015, So I go and I put up there and I would put like the show and then, kind of comments on the show and I go, yeah, well, let me tell you what I really think about that show, And then some of the news and kind of just, going through it because there's so many projects and things that we do that a lot of people don't. I mean, we pretty much share everything. I mean, me and Donna, that not a lot gets left out of the show, but. There are some, thought, motivation, why I do certain things and a little long-term iron in the fire for a year kind of deal, And I think that would be good to do, I think you should do one, too.
I've been doing these pictures in that little video, and that's my boy, Dan. He's all about the internet. He wants to become a internet phenom, right? So he's all about the internet blog. He goes, you need to be doing this. You need to put this on the internet. You need to have a YouTube channel. And I'm like... oh, like one more thing I need to be doing.
I go, you know what? You should do that. You know, it's like being chair. You know, remember? It's kind of, you should have the stack.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll just tell Dan Good, you are a producer of my YouTube channel.
Done. They'd love that. Getting to start this early with actually something to say and all the cool stuff Dad does.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That would be awesome. I tried to get, when we first started doing Freedom's Phoenix, there was a category for Sierra. It was a 16-year-old's perspective or something. So that's what I remember. She was 16 when we started. Wow, we've been doing this a long time, man.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we're 9 years. Yeah, it's over 9 years. Almost 10 years we've been doing Freedom's Phoenix. Damn. And it was in sorely need of an upgrade. Oh, when you're out there doing the satellite and everything, how's the loading on Freedom's Phoenix? Does it go pretty good for you?
Yeah, no, I like the new format. It's a lot better. I mean, used to open up another window and it went to that little in-between screen before you really got to the story, but now it's, you know, it stays on the same page, so it doesn't use as much resource, and it seems to go better.
Yeah, Derek made that point. That's one thing. He really pushed back on that. Because I go, you know, some people were complaining, and it was, I didn't get used to it, where I always had the homepage open, and I would go to a story, and it would open another page in the story, you know, I mean, another tab. And then, and I'd go back to the front, or I'd just, you know, open, and it would open, you know, new windows. And he's going, nope, search engines and this and that, and internet etiquette is that you decide with a right click whether you wish to open another thing or not. You're being bad, Ernie.
My 5-year-old abacus that I'm now using as a computer is, you know, it's like, what are you doing, you know, with all this graphic resource tied up with these web pages.
That's
on my list for 2015 is I'm gonna upgrade my computer.
You're gonna get Windows. Okay, I gotta tell you this story. Mark Victor, you know Mark, you know, sending out his monthly, how great attorney I am and stuff, you know, and all his, there's a lot of things that he's been really busy lately. We got to get him in and do, you know, a lot of times I went down and just did a show from his office because it's just easier for us to go down there than it is for him to come up here. And so I'm just going, you know, there's a lot of weird cases that he has. I don't know how he keeps his freaking mental sanity, but he sends out this newsletter, and it was something that wasn't opening right in my thing or something. So I sent it to Wazzy, and I go, his friend, IT guy, I go, hey, man, this is not opening right. He goes, what? And Mark's like, oh, and I see, fix it. You know, it's not fixed. You need to fix it. And he goes, sends back, and he goes, Ernie, you got XP, man. You got to upgrade and get with the times here and do the Explorer, the whatever. And I'm going, no, and hell no. So I'm just like, if I got to do that. So he goes, well, you just get, you know, get a new operating system, you know, Windows 8. You know, you got just that day, the German government discovered that there was a backdoor NSA barn door open security thing in Windows 8 for them tracking crap.
No way. Bill Gates is one of them.
Right. So I, which well, we know anyway. So, you know, so I go like this. I just send it to him, and he goes, damn. Got an answer for everything, you know. So I am going to have to upgrade. I tell you what I've been waiting on. I mean, I've been doing the
I'd like to find the back door, put a welcome mat. Some of it they go to sneak in. It's like, oh, he knows we're here.
Come on in.
Yeah, come on in.
Have
it's
a
good.
Look around. I got nothing to hide. You know, you can't even say that anymore because they just manufacture a story. You get so many data points, man. You were in the same city at the same time of the serial killer of the kitten.
Yeah, you just
you
invite
know,
him in. Hey, come
whatever.
In. See if you can find my secret. Come on. It's in here. I'm telling you, there is one. Come find it.
Yeah, you know, looky. See, that's one thing that separates us from a lot of people. You know, when we started doing this back in 93 and started getting our first emails and all that stuff, we knew that they were there from the beginning. You know, I mean, we just all assumed that. And there was so much evidence showing that they were. And so we're just like, when Dean got arrested in the Viper Militia thing and all that happened and so on, the NBC affiliate called me in. And they wanted to interview, want to talk to Ernie. Oh, vanity, my favorite sin. You know, when you get them talking, they'll just keep yapping. I mean, from the beginning, you know, they might as well be sitting there with the FBI. In fact, when we, oh, that's right, you and I, the day that the big arrest happened, that night we went down to Channel 5. And we were sitting there, and in the shadows, there's all the LEOs. You kind of, what's he going to say?
They're all got their radios ready. We had sent out the, you know.
Send
out the bolo.
But they had had, you know, the Channel 12, they had had the internet. We knew this in the all news stuff. They had everything that would ever come off our computers. And they didn't know that I knew that. And I'm going, yeah, I knew the guy. And your point?
Yeah, oh yeah, we Project Echelon when they had that little listening post up in Canada.
Yep. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Just highways to hell.
Yeah,
you know, well, the hell highway, getting out to where you are in Tonopah, you know, the zombies aren't probably going to make it out there in July.
Yeah, raisin zombies by the time they get to me.
Raisin zombies. You know, there's a lot of zombie questions I got. I mean, okay. Don't they become beef jerky after all?
Yeah, jerky zombies. There you go.
Jerky zombies. You know, that would be a good spoof movie. Jerky zombies. You know, after a while, well, it's been 20 years later, and they're really, really drying out, you know. It rained. They soaked it up. I really do need to, I mean, I got enough computers. I mean, how many computers I got in here, you know? And they each do something because I isolate. I learned my lesson when you started buying the TV VCR combos, you know?
Yeah.
What's the lesson learned? Well, one goes out, the other one ain't worth a crap.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So the thing is, we used to have computers that would do video and the audio and the archive and the, you know, the show prep and the rejoiner music and the interface with the, you know, mixer. Yes, you can. And it goes, I don't want to do it anymore.
Got to have a backup to the backup to the backup.
And I need more backups with backups. You know, I'm Drew Phillips from Bitcoin Not Bombs is coming up Tuesday. And I think I might have a list. Want to make some money? I need to install, you know, some memory this and backup this stuff and do that. You know, you give me a day or something, I'll pay him to do it. You know, I think that's what we'll do. Set aside some money, Donna, for, you know, Drew and Fry's Electronics and getting our computers and backups and stuff done. It's time. Because I had one of my backup power things took a crap. It just goes, I don't want to hold power anymore. I don't even know what those kind are. The big ones, are those lead acid? Or
UPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a sealed battery in it. Don't throw it away.
Well, sealed what battery?
It's a sealed lead acid battery.
So it's lead acid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to get something else. Because they always go bad within a couple of years.
Three to 5 years.
Yeah.
That's why I don't use lead-acid batteries anymore.
Yeah, so what do you got?
Nickel-iron batteries.
I think
I have pictures of it in my little
deal. We'll get to your pictures.
Yeah, well, you know.
We'll get to your pictures. We got all day, man. You know, this is... All right, tell people what we're going to do, what we're going to go see here.
It's basically a little tour of the homestead. I did some of the power stuff just because I know we'll probably talk about it anyways, being off-grid. But mostly it's just this construction of the greenhouse I did. You know, this whole aquaponics thing that, you know, you started building the dome, the food dome out back. And, you know, I kind of started looking at it. I know you had some trouble with your fish just about this time last year, you know, with the cold. And, you know, I had this perfect setup out there because I got a hot tub in my backyard that wasn't being utilized enough with some solar panels on it. And I went like, oh, I could fix this. And then I went, I can do this in my backyard and not have to worry about this particular problem. And it just kind of grew from there.
Well, you had what Bob had did on the south-facing part of a little retainer wall. That he, you got 9 acres, but you got to have like a backyard to have not the big giant, you know, wolves get you. So he has a backyard there, and off the back porch he has from his bedroom is a hot tub. Well, to keep it heated or have a nice hot tub for the ladies, you know, you have a hot water heater circulating thing, solar trapping, make it hot. Yeah, water thing.
I didn't need the bubbles. I just needed hot water, you know. So we just, because we had, you know, we got this hot springs out there, and we used to go down and soak in the hot springs all the time. And I was like, well, I don't need a hot spring. I'll make one in my backyard. And,
you know, that was another thing. What's the water temperature that comes out of your well?
Probably mid-80s. It's warm.
Yeah. How is it you're not using that to heat your freaking house?
Nah, because I only have so much water being here in the desert, and I use it for, like, drinking.
But, I mean, you know, that's one thing. I mean, you go down, there's some, you know, uranium volcanic plume or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's going on there?
There's supposedly a lava plume down there or something. If you get down towards right where the freeway goes through, it's the water comes out of the ground like 110 degrees.
Yeah. They have a... you know, like a little truck stop there or something, and right across the street from there, you just see all this bamboo. And what they did is they took the hot water and they kind of channel it in little canals that go to, and each one of the hot tubs that they have kind of open to the desert. You go in there and you're walking around naked and in the your little quadrant of whatever the heck is open to the desert of watch the sunset. I mean, it's just really nice, and it's just these concrete, you know, hot tubs that they created, and they flow in the hot water from the spring, and then it kind of goes these little canals and grows the bamboo that are the walls.
Yeah, they got fish and frogs, all kinds of stuff living in these little channels, and the water just flows 24/7, 365 out there.
Hot tub, fresh water, hot tub, mineral hot tub.
Drag your butt out there sometime. We'll sit there and make a day. We'll go down and rent a tub and watch the sun go down behind them.
I'm hit, man. I get a whole day. So yeah, it's starting to open up a little bit. It's going to start getting kind of tight because got Consumer Electronics Show next week. I got you know, a bunch of little stuff and meetings and presentations and stuff, and then we go to Acapulco, and then we go to the Bit Drop. So between now and the end of March, I got probably 3 or 4 trips, and it's their work. You know, we got it, like, you know, Drew, when he comes up, he's going to go to Consumer Electronics Show with us. Me and Mike Crosswhite, we're going to go up there, and he hopes he gets press credentialed. If he doesn't, I'm going to try and hook him up. But we're going to go ahead and get him placed, and we're going to go up there, and he wants to videotape. You know, so we're going to actually have to do a show, you know. So we'll do some podcast or shows or something. You know, I'll create. If I do, because I have the mobile device, you know, my, you know, what do you call that? The Comrex. And I go ahead and go up there and do it. And I've done the show from there before, but they have a big giant media room, and there are other shows there. You can go in, you kind of rent a room or just reserve a room. They got different cubicles and things, you go in there. But it's hard to be in the media, you know, area doing declare your independence here. Well, here's the Hancock at the Consumer Electronics Show. Woohoo! I mean, you know, they like, what the hell are you doing, you know?
You just got to record that ahead of time, make it like a little push button, and you can play that.
Yeah. Declare! They're going, okay.
.com.
You know, I had, God, where was I at? It's different events, you know, libertarian stuff and different festivals and, you know, Libertopia. There's always, you're in some, I'll do it live from, you know, a Bitcoin thing from a hotel lobby. You know, they'll give us a table, Vinny, this is where you're going to do your show. So I'm always, you know, I don't want my audience asleep or anything. So everybody's like, oh, we're getting complaints from the people in their rooms. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I got to be good. But what we're going to go through is your life out there. Now, just as a preface, you know, see, a lot of these magazines, they depict, you know, a lot of stuff that Bob and I are doing. You know, there's always something in there, some little thing that we're building, already built, we did, we're testing, or something. And so 2015, for me and Don, we've been talking about it, you know, a lot, and for a long time, since forever. Because when we first met back in 93, Donna and I had already made the decision back then that it was going to be probably 2016, you know, because what we did is we said, I go, by the time our children are our age, and the oldest, you know, Rhea just turned 30, Sierra turned 25, and the other two boys are in the middle. And I'm going, by the time they're our age, I was thinking when the youngest was 25, the oldest was 30, you know, I'm going, by that time, it's going to be, yeah, that's when it is. And that, and we were thinking, well, that election would be what? You know, 2015, 2016. So by the end of this year, you know, we need to finish all the projects, finish the plan, finish what we want to be prepared for. It's about finishing.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, no, let's go back to that picture. All right, that cover right there, the double-decker carport garage of my flying car on top of the other car. I'm getting my freaking flying car. You know what they did, you know, for our... welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Mr. Robert Anderson is visiting today. We went to the New Year's Eve party last night, but we wanted to do a show. Kind of, all right, starts off the year. You know, Bob and I have been doing this for 20 years. All right, what are we going to do this year? What are you going to do, man? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. So we go do it. Saturday, that's the other thing. At the Breakfast Club Saturday, we're going to have a bunch of people come. And just, you know, I really got to do a lot of work today, calling a lot of these guys and say, you get your 5-10 minutes of whatever. And so it'll be interesting.
See, that's one of the good things about being out in Tonopah. I can't get dragged into all that stuff. So, you know, it's like, oh, I just can't get myself into town. So I'll go work on the greenhouse or something, and I'm actually get some stuff done.
But, you know, and your boys are how old now?
I don't know, 10 and 11.
Are they getting more help or less help?
Oh, more help.
Well, I don't know. They hit that 13, you're like, eh.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, like, say, Danny's really into this whole, you know, I got water moving and plumbing, and he was like, this is really cool, Dad. I go, yeah, well, you want to help. And he's done a lot of work towards, you know, like saying, we look at this stuff later. I'll point out some of the stuff he did. You know, he always wants to have a little bit of the green, and, you know, being libertarian, I want to teach him the right way. He's like, yeah, let me make you work unless, you know, you're getting something out of it. So we always strike a little bargain of what's
going
on.
It's always a negotiation.
So, yeah, and he's good. You know, I mean, once he makes his, you know, does the handshake deal, he's all over it. So I'm pretty proud of him.
What about Robert? He's like,
yeah, Robert's like,
I just beat up my little brother and get a cut anyway.
Yeah, well, he goes, I don't need it that bad.
I know. It's just different motivations. You know, yeah, one thing I was talking to James Babb, because we're going to, you know, work on that part thing, you know, I really want to do. And 3D printing stuff. And his daughter, Dorothy, I mean, she's got a lot of attention. She's excited about doing a lot of stuff and everything. But then, you know, he goes, I think I need to make it harder on her. You know, there needs to be some motivation for her to want. And she's just like, I'm 12. And it's like, you know, there's Backstreet boy band du jour, you know, that I'm worried about, whatever it is.
Well, like, say, depending on how you get him motivated, Robert motivates a little different. Like, say, took him out there, started, you know, getting him... going to take them hunting, so I'm getting them used to, you know, shooting accurate, not just like, you know, Call of Duty warfare, wasting $40 worth of ammo shooting up the desert. I started offering them like a little contest between the guys who can shoot, and pretty soon they slow down because actually the winner each weekend gets $10 out of the weekend shoot off. Oh, Robert slowed right down.
First
weekend his brother beat him. He decided it is time to get serious about it, and now both of them are far more controlled when they're shooting. It's not just about making noise, and, you know, so it's they motivate a different way.
Smooth is slow, you know. Aim slow small. Is smooth is fast.
That's right, and it's basically aim small, miss small kind of thing. Yeah. So they're getting good.
I remember when they came out with that movie, The Patriot. We went and saw it in Anaheim Libertarian Convention. Remember that?
Yeah, we were all face painted up, and
you know, we went as brave. Yeah, when we were that year that we painted our face half blue and saw another Mel Gibson movie. Yeah. We're there. Nah, it's a long story. We'd be in butt heads. But anyway, the thing is that whenever they have the Libertarian Convention, usually around 4th of July, so there's always like Independence Day in Washington, D.C., and they blow up the White House. They kind of cut. I know they cut that scene real quick. Batman, we're done. You know, we're like, oh, that was naughty. We were all going to cheer. Because people in the theaters, when they were showing the trailer and it had the aliens blowing up the White House, the whole theater would go cheering. It was amazing. They're going, yeah! And we're going, oh, hell yeah. Libertarian Convention's Washington, D.C. on Independence Day opening. Oh, we know what we're doing. So they cut that scene. Got, boom, done. To go to the next thing. And I'm going, oh, you sons of bitches, man. You know, that they're all controlled. Oh, last night at the party, Charles Goyette was there with his wife, Allie, and his son, Stephen. Now, his son, Michael, works for Warner Brothers. When Charles and I were working together over there, America over there, had his son, Michael, working for Warner Brothers still. And he said, hey, man, this movie, V for Vendetta, you got to keep an eye on this thing. You go watch and see and go, ooh, go get some, you know. So we were keeping an eye. We're going, oh, we see where this is going. The studio knew. They were kind of, there's things going on in the background of what, you know, what kind of, you know, social impact is this going to have, you know? So we kind of got heads up on that. Well, Stephen is graduating ASU this year in communications or something, okay? So last summer, he went and worked with his brother out at Warner. One of the women that really like him moved to another studio. So he's got like two studios that he might, you know, start off with himself a job. And you know, so we were talking, I'm going, power and influence, man, minds of people, the wave of this freedom, libertarian-oriented kind of generation coming. You're 21 going into it now. Ride that wave, boy! You know, you need to have the understanding.
Yeah, insider in the propaganda machine.
Exactly. So I'm just like, you know, this is what you and I have seen over 20 years as we do all this stuff. You run for office, and we're doing the officer thing and all that crap. And you see the next generation coming, and they create this foundation, and it gets more populated, more diverse, and more influence, and more, you know, knowledge, more, until all of a sudden, Generation X in charge. Hello. So this is a big thing that we've been doing. You've known, you grew up, our kids were, Uncle Bob, man. I mean, you know, they've known the kids since forever. And they have been... you know, I really don't beat them over the head with whatever. I mean, you know, we do the same thing. We had the restaurant. It was the best thing that ever happened. Yeah, you want money? Go work. You know, I got work for you, you know. Or you're doing your homework, or you're washing dishes back there or something, but you're not, you know, screwing. Are you going to football practice, or you're
doing... Yeah, that's for the boys. The boys don't ever come up to me and go, hey, Dad, can I have a couple of bucks? It's always, hey, you got something I can do for a couple of bucks?
There like, you go.
I already got them, you know, thinking the right way.
Yeah, I remember, of course, you know, they bought their first cars. You know, and we had this one tracker at the Suzuki Samurai or whatever the hell it was, and it got passed down to all the kids. Well, the hand-me-down car, which I would have freaking crawled over broken glass to have any kind of car, you know, as a kid, but the it got passed down, so they would work to get their own. Well, Corsair didn't want to get the, so I don't want that, I would get my own. So I don't know if you remember that gray piece of crap Bronco $200-$400 thing that he had, you
but
know,
it was his,
and he took, and it didn't have a heater, and he took his dates and his friends up to their cabin in the snow. Okay, what a mistake that was. So I, you know, that was a thing. Then, so when he, his wife now, you know, he's, oh, he, ooh, this was the one. I mean, you know, back in, he bought a, you know, a really nice truck, you know, that he had, and just so he could take, he didn't want to do that again with her, you know. So their motivation, they understand work is what's going to get them whatever they want. And I provide them the opportunity. I do the same thing as you, my niece and nephew. I'm like, you know what? You want to go, take us to the movie. Take us. Hey, what am I, the movie god here or something? You just go and you're doing, kind of give you that puppy dog eye, and they're twins, so they double up on you. So I'm going, I go, no. I need grass taken out of my rose bushes. They come back. And they wouldn't wear the gloves you give them, you know. They come back with scratches all up and down their arms as they're pulling the Bermuda grass out of the rose bushes. We're going to the movies.
There you go.
So it's just a different attitude. But the one thing that we really worked on, you know, you and I both, was preparing the kids for something. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, something. What's the something you think? What are you preparing?
Well, you know, it's... It's hard to say. You know, you go through the whole gamut of, you know, solar flare, nuclear bomb, economic collapse, zombie apocalypse. You know, I mean, what's going to... It's just, you know, I grew up, you know, as out fairly rural back in New England, and you know, my mom was a product of the, you know, a Depression family. So I mean, they always, it was just a mindset you did. It started snowing out, you filled up the bathtub with water, and you made sure the refrigerator had food in it, because you never knew it was going to be, you know, 2 or 3 days before you get out of the house again if it was a bad storm. So preparing is just always kind of, you know, in a mindset in it. It's, you know, not necessarily preparing for anything in particular. It's just, you know, I don't want to go hungry.
You know, that's like Laura from Finland. She goes, yeah, this obsession, America media about preppers. And we go, man, we only get like 3 months of sun out of the year. If we don't prep, we die. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about, you know? So she came and she goes, yeah. She sent us an email. She was getting a new grant for a PhD, wants to work for Bob and I next summer.
Yeah.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your
lies. Lies, 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 no lies. You know, that's one thing when we first started Freedom's Phoenix, they go, well, what you gotta speak out? What's your slogan? You know? And I go, I don't know. Somebody, I think Tiger came up with reigniting the flames of liberty or something like that. We have up there too. What is it? Yeah, it's over there somewhere. And I go, you know what I want to do? I'm uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies, because that's what the reason why I did all this to begin with. It's just everything. I give you an example. When our kids, remember downtown Patriot Park when they had the Million Mom March against guns or whatever it was? They had a big, you know,
goose
thing. And the kids, Donna, we had a Voyager minivan. And so they were in their seats with their seatbelts, and they were holding signs out the side. We had the side door open, and they're holding signs out as they're going around, you know, this march. And now there were more protesters protesting the protest than there were people, you know, doing we don't like guns or whatever. So they're just around the sidewalks around this, and they had chain link around the park. They were all freaked out. They're, oh my goodness, the two might touch each other or something, right? And
it's like antimatter.
So right. So they were driving around this square that was only like, I don't know, it's like 100-150 yards on a side, you know, downtown square called Patriots Park, which they have, you know, paved over. They just, I think they've done away with that because there's a little bit too much protest going on in the middle of Phoenix. Can't have that. So there's always somebody getting arrested. So around the outside, and as our kids were traveling around, and we had a restaurant, and we were like delivering pizzas and water for everybody and, you know, having a good time, they were holding signs that said, "My mother's arms keep me safe." Well, you know that's a definite get on the news, you know. So they're doing, and they protest. They freaked out, made the police stop her because she had the door open. No, no, not allowed to. Nope, not prudent at this juncture. Child endangerment. We're gonna, you know, get some. So she's like, all right. No, so
it's always for the children.
The children. So anyway, we did this, and the lesson, I knew what was going to happen. They got to see what really happened. They were there. They were part of it. They saw all the people there. And I go, we got to go and watch the news. And we recorded a couple of the channels or something. We had VCRs, and then one channel we watched, because all the news is down there. So we go, and they watch, and they go, well, that's not what happened. I'm going, ding, 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 ding. How many school classes, Selma, civil rights, you know, stuff you got to go through at school that'll teach you something in 5 minutes of watching the news after you were there at something. I'm going, do we get it now? Okay. So our kids, from a very early age, they've been involved in so many things that they're a part of, getting ready to know the people, and then how it was depicted in the media. And they're just like, right. So that's one thing that your boys are missing. You know, they don't have that awareness from the beginning of how BS the whole thing is. How do you instill that in them?
We just talk about it when stuff happens. You know, and they get enough inoculation from just hanging around us when we're doing stuff and listening to us talk. You know, they'll sit there over there playing with stuff, but they're always tuned in.
Yeah, they're sucking it in.
They're always tuned in.
You know, half the time we're really talking to them, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, did you hear this secret thing? Don't tell anybody. You know, they got their little FM transponder, you know, hid under the desk or something. You know, are they learning electronics? Or is that something they're
teaching? I'm teaching a little
stuff?
Bit about that. And, like, you know, part of the whole, like, say, you know, the, you know, being a product in the public school system, you know, they're quickly learning about BS, whether we teach them or not. they're pretty smart kids.
Do they have their own smartphones or anything?
It's not a smartphone, but they have, you know, they have their own phones. If I have them smartphones, next thing I'll have a, you know, $500 usage bill or something like that.
Yeah,
so
for porn or something.
So they have computers and stuff that they go to, and they spend a fair portion of time just looking stuff up and doing things. Like, say, Danny's really into this whole becoming this internet phenom, so he's really into producing and making movies, and I just bought him some editing software so we can go through and cut his movies and make them the way he wants them and stuff. So
very cool. But we had them in here in the studio and had them do their own little show. They got the bug a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah. Robert's all about the microphone. You put a microphone in, you know, he's my introverted child. Right. It's like, you put a microphone there, I mean, he's like, you know, he's all about the microphone.
You know what? He does a pretty good job. They'll do all right. But your son, Robert, is the spitting image of Ian Freeman, you know, a Free Talk Live. I mean, that could be his son, man. I mean, sir, brother. Hell, it could be his younger brother. And I go, I look at Robert, I look at Ian, and I go, man, and kind of the same mannerisms and everything. There's a gene that goes, you know, that your looks kind of pick the way
right.
You are a little bit or something. There's a personality, like how your brain is, you know, physically on the inside, you know, is manifested in your face on the outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I definitely see Ian and Robert being in the same
sit there
category.
Over time, and certain looks are stereotyped in movies or in, you know, cartoon and stuff.
Right.
And so people have realized that over millennia or whatever. It's certain looks are...
That's a stereotype. You're not... Well, hey, man, I'm just... If I was betting...
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason they're stereotypes.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, this redhead's going to punch that guy in the face at any moment, you know. But Bob and I have been keenly aware of the Generation Next and their power and all that kind of stuff. So when the Levolution hit and we did all this stuff, all right, we got to talk about this. There is, I've known this for a while. I first found out about it, I don't know, a month or two ago from Paul Rosenberg came on. He goes, hey, what do you think about Russell Brand ripping off your logo on the the Revolution book thing, right?
I didn't even have to read the response. I go, well, I know what Ernie's going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
Well, I read it, but of course Ernie was like, you can't rip off something that nobody owns.
Yeah, I'm like, who cares? I'm not understood. You know, and Charles Goyette and his son, they're like, yeah, Ernie, but that's, you know, because Charles works with, you know, Ron, and they're just, you know, it's Russell Brand trying to rebrand the Levolution, and it's a worldwide, and they're kind of, I'm going, there's enough people know. Trust me. Don't worry about it, you know. It's just not that big a deal.
Yeah. Russell may have bit off more than he can chew.
Yeah, I know. I'm going, oh, you have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm trying to be, you know, make this a positive thing. Everybody's all getting to ouch quit it. Dude, who can do it? Ouch quit it? Who cares? You know, and it almost makes you think that it's like a troll. It's like the other side. They're wanting to instigate
something. You sit there and they kind of like, you know, it's that whole vanity, my favorite sin kind of thing. It's like, oh, you know, yeah, you ripped off with the R thing. And it's like... And it just totally mind melds them when you're like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. So this is what happened. Okay, I'll show you. For those on the video, you can see this. But I just tell you what the story is. I hear about this, and they're like, you know, the Ron Paul Levolution should do something. And who's going to do anything? Because nobody owns anything of anything. And the closest they can come is like, well, Ernie Hancock should sue or something, you know, claim intellectual property rights. So I'm going, oh, okay. Well, how much time we got? All right, we will talk about it in the next hour. I'll give you what my response was, but they're really on Amazon on the books. They're really doing a number on trying to create a thread or a controversy over this logo. And I'm going, and I have never written anything directly about me, you know, whatever. It's always been coverage about it, or I talk about it on the show. But I never wrote an article. You'll never see Ernest Hancock Levolution something, you know, combined out there. And I go, all right, on the Amazon comments, I'm going, no, I'm going to nip this right now. You know, okay, Ernie, you want to put my name? Okay, this is what Ernie says about the whole thing. We'll get into that in the next hour. But it's in continuation of the theme that we've done all this time. That's what we wanted to happen. I mean, duh. yeah, but he's a communist. I'm going, he's on the path to not them. I mean, you know, that's the first thing. Not whatever they're doing. You know, then of course they're going to go on to, anybody goes to college, at Venus Project. Yes, but we could just have everything for everybody. You know, that's one thing Charles's son, you know, Stephen was kind of, yeah.
I heard you talking about that last
night. Yeah, he goes, are you heard about the kind of, you know, something zeitgeist? And I go, I'm going to do you a solid, man. I'm going to tell you the history of this whole thing, what happened. And it was, you know, the zeitgeist guy makes this movie, the Venus Project, which is like socialist utopian of computers decide what you do and everybody gets their toilet paper. And so he's going, they took over zeitgeist, then made zeitgeist addendum, kind of merged the two movements. Whatever. And then the guy, I think one of the main guys died recently and so on. It's just, it's communist, you know, it's just a socialist, whatever. But it's from, hopefully from the right place. We have abundance. We have all the technology. We can feed the world. We can, you know, like, yep, we can. So you should let people do it. You know, the problem is not that we can. There's some freaking permit or law that, you know, you got to get around. Are they about doing that? No, they're about assigning, you know. And I'm going, no. Because whenever I have these people, once I found out what was really going on, I have them on and I ask them one question. Where do I get my toilet paper? I just wanted to, well, it'll be, you need it, it'll be supplied. Oh, wow, cool. Why? Well, somebody, why? Why would they do that? How, they're the toilet paper guru. If I can't wait, I would grow up and make toilet paper. I just wondered, how do I get my toilet paper? And it just kind of falls apart. So I go, you find out who makes my toilet paper, we can talk about it, okay? That's all I want to know. Charles goes, did you tell him that? I go, yeah. Cured!
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, January 1st, 2015. Silver is trading at $15.70 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,184 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $318. Antiwar.com reports at least 33 people were killed and scores wounded in a suicide bomb in Ibe in central Yemen, which targeted a Shiite religious celebration that was attended by a number of leaders of the Houthi rebels. The Houthis have advanced into cities like Ibe, which were in al-Qaeda territory in recent months, and al-Qaeda has launched a number of suicide attacks against them. How many Houthis were among those killed and wounded is unclear, but leaders call it a massacre, adding that many women and children were also wounded in the incident. So was the city's governor, according to reports, though he is expected to survive. So far, al-Qaeda hasn't claimed credit for the attack, though it is widely expected that they will.
FPP Radio News is brought to you by The Doublespeak Dictionary. The Doublespeak Dictionary by Leslie Starr O'Hara satirizes the marked difference between the ideal of we the people and the reality of we the elite, while offering an insightful glimpse into the clockworks of the totalitarian mind. Ever irreverent but never irrelevant, The Doublespeak Dictionary serves as a subversive and humorous but timely reminder that the emperor has no clothes. The Doublespeak Dictionary is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores.
Reuters reports a stampede killed at least 35 people during New Year's Eve celebrations in Shanghai. The Shanghai government said that large crowds started to stampede in Qianyi Square on the Bund just before midnight, with authorities working to rescue and aid the wounded. The trigger for the stampede has yet to be confirmed, but state media and a witness said the incident was caused when people tried to pick up fake money thrown from a building. A man who brought one of the 43 injured to a local hospital for treatment said fake money had been thrown down from a bar above the street as part of the New Year's Eve celebrations. The man, who gave his family name as Wu, said people rushed to pick up the money, triggering the stampede. A woman who was on the Bund described chaotic scenes, saying there were too many people and nowhere for people to escape. Dozens of distraught relatives gathered in the hospital lobby waiting for news, with some expressing frustration over a lack of information as police held them back. At dawn on Thursday, there were still small crowds of revelers trying to find taxis home, and workers were clearing up trash strewn around the Bund. There was little sign of the mayhem that had broken out just hours earlier. In 2004, 37 people died in a stampede in northern Beijing on a bridge at a scenic spot during the Lunar New Year holiday.
For over 35 years, Robertson Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Robertson Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co.
UPI reports Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley said Wednesday he will commute the sentences of the four men remaining on Maryland's death row before he leaves office. The state abolished the death penalty in 2013, but the legislature did not make the law retroactive. O'Malley said the state attorney general has advised him Maryland no longer has an execution protocol and is unable to put anyone to death. Before he announced his decision, he talked to the families of some of the victims of the four inmates. He said he believes commuting the sentence will spare the families the ordeal of more drawn-out appeals. O'Malley, who pushed for the 2013 law, leaves office in mid-January after serving two terms. Maryland has a history of capital punishment dating back to 1638, when two men were hanged for piracy. The state passed a new death penalty law after the U.S. Supreme Court found executions constitutional in 1976. The number of executions across the United States dropped this year, and prosecutors and juries appear to have been more willing to accept sentences of life without parole. The Death Penalty Information Center reports that six states abolished capital punishment between 2007 and 2013, although none have done so since. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Okay. We'll get to Bob's, spread and everything like someday. We got all day.
Yeah.
We got nothing else to do. We made a note. We should talk about it. We got a whole list over here, but we got to finish this, the Russell Brand, revolution thing. Okay. Russell Brand came to prominence. He is a United Kingdom comedy, movie star here, U.S. A lot of guys know him, like him, but his big thing is, I grew up poor in UK, in poor section of in UK somewhere. I don't know. And I know the exploitation of the whatever and the man keeping you down and all this, and kind of that sucks. And now I got lots of money and I can be a butthead. So he did resurrect, I think, an old magazine, the New Statesman or something like that. And he wrote some stuff in there. Of course, you know, guest articles by, you know, George Clooney. So you know where this is going. You know, it's like going Interstellar. And yeah, it's all about Matt Damon taking, you know. Okay, I get it. So then... So Russell Brand was in an interview, and they asked him, and he goes, "Oh no, I don't vote. Yeah, no, voting is a waste. Well, I know better than to vote. No, we don't vote." And I'm like, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd! Oh my goodness, how ever did you come to that decision? You know, so they're just getting all up in this fate, and he's going, "No, man, and he gives good reason." So then that kind of hit heavy as a video. Then he goes on Alex Jones, and he kind of, you know, he's like on, he's being told stuff by people. He's got people around, and he's being used, he's getting peopleized, you know. He's got a, you know, a crowd of, you know, you need to say and think, and these are the people you meet and do, kind of, we're going to fix it, right? So sitting back, we've been through this many times with different celebrities and so on, and they just kind of, doesn't hold. Where a 70-something-year-old guy like Ron Paul, you know, that's a whole different deal. There's some behind-the-scenes secret about Ron Paul stuff we probably can't, you know, I shouldn't tell you yet. But there's going to be some Ron Paul stuff going on here this month. There's going to be a Kickstarter that's going out. There's going to be a fundraising thing, and some big names are doing a biography over there, and we'll tell you details later. So this is going to be a big deal. And right when this movie, you know, is being done, and it'll come out by the 2016 thing or whatever, and I'm sure, I don't know how Rand would use this. It's nothing about Rand, but, you know, it's the presidential and his dad and whatever. So this controversy over this logo is kind of up on, they're like, well, he did it, and why can't we do it? Because Ron, when he did his first book, you know, Liberty book, was that Revolution? It's Ron Paul's Revolution book. When he first did that, and I got, you know, one of the original copies when they first were published, and he goes, well, we were going to put the logo on, but, you know, the publisher, everybody was all worried about rights, okay, to the logo. And I'm just like, you know, why is everybody, I love it when people just like Brian Doherty, he just did it. You know, he's like, yeah, bite me. And there was some other guy that did it too, out of some economist guy even years before. And I'm going, you know, the only ownership I claim of that is just enough so that nobody else gets to claim any ownership. I go, it's out pace. You know, it's, I ripped it off the Beatles from back in the whatever I saw in the long time ago anyway. So what's the big deal? The thing is that with all this going on, you know, for Russell Brand to do this and be like, you know, Che Guevara, you know, and revolution kind of love-illusion going together, as long as it's a peaceful love-illusion, I mean, how can you go wrong? I mean, I don't care, you know, as long as it's peaceful. Are they going to put a gun to my head saying I got to give them tax money or something, you know? Yeah. You can be all socialist all you want. I don't care. I'm just against coercion. So this is not that big a deal to me. In fact, it's kind of what I wanted, is for this, you know, a revolution without coercion or love. It sure as heck getting coerced. I love you, man. You know, boom, we come in peace. It's like Mars Attacks, you know. Boom, we come in peace. Boom, you know. So, whatever. So here's a guy. What's his name? James Simpson. You know, James Riley. You know, it was on Daily Paul. It kind of started kicking up. I almost puked when I saw the cover. Can't believe this guy so carelessly ripped Ron Paul's campaign logo. I wrote a concise review on Amazon. For those of you who thinks it would be helpful, don't hesitate to vote as much, you know, whatever. So there's a link to the Amazon page where they're doing the book sales. And then, of course, you have reviews and people comment, and he did this. The emblem is a symbol of free market libertarianism. He totally just tried to rip it off from Ron Paul and Ernie Hancock, its creator. Was it to try and hijack the meaning and its power, all for ideas that have been tried over and over? Oh, the irony. So I'm you know, and I didn't read his book, don't care. I just don't care. That's not the point. So I go in there, okay, this is the first time that I say anything. This is, how much time I got? Yeah, I got time. This is the first comment I have ever made regarding the use of this artwork that I have been credited with creating. I mean, I talk about it, but I never write anything because that gets searched. I was inspired by a similar logo I remember seeing associated with the Beatles back a long time ago. The logo was created as part of a campaign that ran here in Arizona in 2006. Do an image search for still voting with a question mark, still voting, and you'll see our first use of the artwork. Ron Paul has been a regular speaker at our Freedom Summits that we've had here in Phoenix since 2001, and I knew that the philosophy he would advocate in his run for President of the United States would be best represented by the Lovolution artwork. The impact on people here in Arizona during its limited exposure in 06 convinced us immediately the role this concept would have on the planet when combined with the history and rhetoric of Dr. Ron Paul. The only ownership I claimed to the artwork was only enough to make sure that no one owned it and that it would be as open source as the peace symbol. So, as Russell Brand continues his journey towards the philosophy of a peaceful and voluntary leave-me-alonest world, I am encouraged by the spreading of the idea that revolutions based in love are not only desired but possible. If Russell strays too far from the brand, there will be plenty of us to remind him and his supporters of why this particular piece of art was so powerful so quickly. While we may disagree on many things, I am of the opinion that most activists are motivated by the desire to do good. Libertarian philosophy needs to remind as many as possible that only good means will produce a good result. And I think Mr. Brand is on this path of awareness. Ernest Hancock, publisher of Freedom's Phoenix. Now, what's the benefit that I get out of this? A bunch of things. One, I get to define it and kind of whatever and get to go look at the still voting logo. You know, that's going to get them, you know. And then, like, still voting with the V for Vendetta in it. And I ran for Secretary of State, which is in charge of elections, and we had a lot of fun. And that was voted, you know, most popular sign during that campaign season in the paper. So they go look at that. They kind of get a little bit idea why it was so popular. It's because of the history and rhetoric of Dr. Paul associated with Lovolution and free market and whatever. Then you have, you know, hey, as long as you journey towards peaceful and voluntary leave me alone-ness world, you know, that's cool. And if he ever gets too far away from that, well, I just know the Lovolution's going to explain it to him, okay?
I think you should invite Mr. Brand to the next Freedom Summit.
Yeah, hell, Donna's working on getting him on the show.
There you go.
I'm just looking for it. I mean, this, and again, another good reason to have him on, you know, because, and what will he do with this? You know, I don't know, nothing, or it's up there, or he's glad, or it's just a thing. I don't know what's happened since then. I went, let's go to the link and see.
No, I'm sure it's just pages and pages of ouch, quit it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they, you know. We'll go take a look at the Amazon link and see if anybody's, you know, done anything. There's mine. So you didn't read the book. Have you heard of political satire, and are you aware that parody is one of the primary tools of satire? The title of this book is an important and effective rhetorical choice. Your review isn't a review of the actual text of the book at all, just an uninformed opinion. So that's somebody who's just like, you know, well, maybe it's kind of like Jon Stewart's thing.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime, 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Ernie, I can't believe you're playing that communist song from that communist, you know, the communist, whatever.
It's so soothing.
One thing I can't believe you're playing. You know, how long did you have to go before you could play Michael Jackson's Thriller again?
I mean, yeah.
I'm like, oh, get over it. You know, get over it. Yeah, there's some Eagles. The let's see, we got to go through, get to your stuff. Got to go through the list here. All right, you know, give me the list.
Okay, we talked about LED grow lights.
All right, tell us about LED grow lights.
Well, you're just there talking about LEDs, lights of the future kind of thing. You know, space age technology or alien technology or something like that. But, yeah. You know, LED grow lights, doing a little of this gardening stuff, looked at the LED grow lights, and they're all that. People that are doing this indoor, people that are doing indoor gardening.
Yeah.
They have, you know, they're really going to these LED grow lights. One, they can control the spectrum of the light so that they can tweak it. It's kind of like a purple light, and I guess it's the stuff the plants just like, so you get far more flowering and budding and things like that in whatever you're indoor gardening.
Budding!
And But these lights use an incredibly small amount of electricity compared to like the big sodium arc lights that people were using. And they don't generate a lot of waste heat, which is, you know, electrical use and heat signature was, you know, what the, you know, the
probable cause for
the bad guys
cat
were,
killing,
you know, flying around with their infrared, looking at the heat signatures and electric bills of people that they're using. Now they're going to these LED lights. And I saw them
in Wondersoil in Las Vegas. You know, a good friend owns that company. And, you know, I don't know if she sold it. We just heard that a Japanese company offered them, like, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Is that the coconut husk people?
The Wondersoil stuff. Yeah. You add water and it just turns into a pot, you know. But, and they have it for, well, you see the Scott grow. They'll throw it on the lawn. You'll repair the little, well, they've been doing this for a long time and it's a lot better and faster, which is why Scott, their big patent thing going back and forth and lawyers and the kind of, I'll quit it. I don't care. But, so we did a video, you know, with her kind of going through the stuff, and it's really interesting product, and it combines corn husk that's pressed into like these big pill makers that they had, and they can put them in these pellets or big discs or all kinds of different configurations, but it has worm castings and different kind of mineral combinations, and it's all this wonder soil. And the reason she did it was she's real philanthropic, got some money individual, was doing it for third world countries, you know, to be able to ship this dirt over that it, and it has like what makes it two things. One, it's the encapsulation of the seeds and all the kind of stuff in the grow, and you add water and it goes. But it also is able to be compressed, and it has those pellets that you make disposable diapers out of that absorb moisture and water. Right. So it kind of retains the water in the soil. So you don't have to keep watering it all the time. It releases it as the plant needs it, kind of stuff. So I'm going, wow, this is really cool stuff. Well, of course, you know, Scott's, it's like, you know, they're, yeah, but we're a big company. We got lawyers, you know, and so, but anyway, so she's been offered a lot of money. I don't know if she, you know, took it and ran and kind of work a deal, because that would, you know, take it, go. I'm sure her husband's going, do it, please. So the, we went there to see how she, where's the point of, oh yeah, the LEDs. Because she had a sample thing there to where they had the different seeds and different, her competitors, she would always have rotating competitors in her under these lights, and it was growing inside the office, you know, away from the windows in like an inner office showroom thing. There, I go, and this was a couple of years ago, and I go, what the heck is that? You're growing inside with LEDs? Yeah, because you have different colors and you can combine them to get you the white light, or like you say,
it's kind of like a
programmed
light. Yeah, from kind of all the videos I've seen and ads I've seen, it's almost like this purple light, because you sit there and you look at these people's grows room as they're germinating all these seeds and stuff, and you go like, well, that's, you know, it's everything's, what kind of, what are they growing? You know, I've never seen these purple vegetables before, and all the leaves, it's not. All the leaves, they're green if you get them under white light, but they're, it's all this reddish purple color, I guess, is a wavelength that the plants are really what they're after out of sunlight.
You know, I bet you it has a lot to do with angle of the sun at a certain time of year, or when they flower, the blah, 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 you know, Lord knows what it is, but, you know, it's, you can dial it in. So, but the power consumption on that one, there's not the heat that you're losing. And why sodium, you know, arc, whatever the heck, because it gives the right kind of light?
The right wavelengths of light, but they produce a lot of heat, and all that heat, basically, you're running
energy.
Yeah, you're running electricity in there, not generating what you want, which is the wavelengths of light. You're generating heat, and then you got to remove the heat, particularly like down here in Arizona. You got to spend more energy to get the heat out of the place.
The heat. It's like the Bitcoin miners, you know, here in Arizona, it's like, yep, and we sealed off that room. We had a cooling, they had an air conditioner. We're running, venting it outside. But so the heat from the LEDs is like nothing. What's the energy uses?
No, it's, you know, the same thing when I went to my off-grid home. You know, I saw the difference between incandescent lights and compact fluorescent. It was like a, you know, decade-fold difference in electric usage, and it's like a decade-fold the difference between compact fluorescent and LEDs. So I'm changing all over my house, all over to LED lights.
You know, we
it
did.
Makes a big difference.
You know, these, you see, these are LED. They look like, you know, incandescent, but they're really, they're LEDs.
Yeah, and
they
got great.
Cheaper. They were like, you know, $40 for 8 or 12 or so. They went down. They were like just a couple of bucks. I go, done.
Yeah, I went out.
I am sick of changing these light bulbs.
Yeah, I went out when I saw them on sale at one of the big box stores one time, and I just took my shopping cart over there and just, you know, bought like a couple $100 and just cleaned the shelf out. It's like, thank you very much. I swapped my house out.
Done. The, you know, the other, we did have the compact fluorescent when we moved here. A lot of them are fluorescent, but I don't really like that that light. I mean, it's just kind of, I'm not a big fluorescent
fan.
Yeah,
it takes a little while for them to heat up, so when you first turn the light on, you know, it's not quite as bright, and then you come back in the room 10 minutes later and go, well, like, did my eyes open more, or, you know, what's kind of changed, and it's basically, they take a little while to warm up.
And they got a lot of, they are bulky, they're heavy, a lot of waste and everything, but these LEDs, they do put off some heat. You know, they got a little ring, you know, at the base. That
little transformer kind of deal.
Yeah, it's a little something. That's where there is some heat. But our electric bill is not that much, especially since we're using a hot water heater to heat our fish all the time, you know.
Well, like I say, being off-grid, I watch every watt coming in, going out. You know, I'm watching what I'm using, and you can see a major difference by swapping the stuff over.
Well, so the wavelength, are you going to be doing some LED growing, or you just got...
I have the sun. I live in Arizona. I have more sun than I know what to do with. You know, I need LED darkness makers kind of thing.
You know, what they call them LCD screening, you know, those polycarbonate panels that you have up. You have them impregnated with, you know, graphene, carbon, kind of whatever, turn the dial, and it shades. You know, it gives you a different gradation of how much sunlight come in. That's coming.
Yeah. We kind of buy it. Kind of go to the store and get it.
No, the answer to that is yes. It's just, you know, it's not, no.
And you're $1,000 head of lettuce.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's one thing Tonopah Rob is going. He goes, it costs money for me to do it this way.
Yes, it does.
It costs money. So we hopefully Monday we can go out there, because I told him that we'd come out and then he'd go see your setup and the way you did it. Because the plumbing that you set up and the how that you're filtering this, everything is the crap. We need to get into that. But let's go ahead and go through the list real quick. What was some of the other things?
And we were reading some headline where it was like, North Korea is not going to blow up the White House. And we both went like, oh.
You know, write that down. You get in trouble for that. They're going to visit you in Guantanamo. But we're seeing, it's like, you know, Independence Day 4, you know, when they, you know, blew up the White House. Yay. So when they go, well, the terrorists would come in across the border if you didn't. I go, they need a map. I mean, you know, I don't care. You know, what, they're after me? You know, we got the same enemy, man. I mean,
that's what people go. It's like, yeah, I don't really think I have to worry about too much terrorist activity out there. I'm not on their target list.
Well, it's like, oh yeah, oh, Alan Corwin, he's going on about, you know, Cuba, we got another communist kind of, and then David goes like this, he writes back, he goes, I looked under my bed, I didn't see one.
Yeah, I know.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down and got my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Because I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. I mean, I wanted to feel like I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. Now, I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Didn't feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me. And they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And
I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant.
Yeah, well, Alice's restaurant. You know, that we usually do that. That was a standard here in the Valley. I know about other places. KDKB, they always play
that
Thanksgiving.
Song. Yeah.
You know, Thanksgiving, and the long version is like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. It's some long-ass thing. Oh, Gotta Da Vida.
Oh, yeah, that's another one that
that's
lasts forever.
That's a long one. I got that one in my workout. Yeah, I'm just like, ooh, I can do a whole workout with that bad boy. Yeah, this is, you know, that you were in the military. You were Navy. You know, you were a nuke guy, you know, on the Enterprise and so on. That's why you're out in Palo Verde, you know, like nuke stuff, you know. And so did you ever have this kind of, the Navy's not really like hut people.
I mean.
They're a force for... Not so bad.
Yeah, well, you know. We're transport.
for the evil.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, we go through boot camp, and of course, you know, it's like herding cats, you know, when we march, we kind of, you know, they gotta break you down and make you all look the same and wear the same smelly clothes and walk the same, talk the same kind of thing. But, you know, once you realize that it's just a big head game thing they're playing, you get through the couple of weeks of boot camp, and then after that, it's just a job, you know, I mean, it's not a bad place to be when you're, you know, fresh out of high school looking for something to do. And,
well, what are your older stepson? He's, how old is he? Like 22 or something?
Let's see. He's probably 24, I think.
And
he
just got out of the Navy.
Yeah, doing well, doing good for himself. It was a good, you know, short of not having to go over there and, you know, probably, you know, wage war on some brown people somewhere. It's he did pretty well, so
he came out all right. But is he happy he's out now? Is he
it was, you know, same thing I did when I went in. It was no illusions of grandeur this was going to be my career. It was like, I'm going in, getting education, I'll do my, you know, I will be your servant for so many years in exchange for some education. When I was done with my contractual agreement, we parted companies, and I was glad I did it. And
unfortunately, you didn't have to like bayonet anybody.
Well. Yeah, and it suited me well.
Yeah, so. No, it worked out. But the what's the other one? There was a couple of things we wanted to go on before we got.
Well, the other one was talking about the little bit of the Airbus thing. We're kind of talking on. I go, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they find out about that.
What do you think?
Well, you know, they've kind of made some correlations to this. You know, they had an Airbus accident that happened with Air France coming out of Brazil, and they flew into some thunderstorms, and then all of a sudden the plane just like disappeared off the radar, and it took them years. I mean, it was in a deep part of the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. They finally went down with some deep sea diver thing and found the black box, and they figured out, you know, they was icing on some instrument that was basically external to the airplane. And you know, these planes are really computer controlled. One of the big differences they've been talking about here in the news is fly by wire. The computer won't. Sometimes the computer basically overrides the pilot because they go, pilot error causes most accidents. So we have a machine that will never make a mistake. And
Skynet gets hit by a bolt of lightning, and
something happened. You know, and they don't know if that's the same case in this, but you know, a lot of the circumstances are pretty parallel. So it'll be interesting what they find out about that.
Because they were trying, you know, permission to get away from this freaking storm.
And they just said, I was reading yesterday that they said that radar, you know, tracking showed that the plane made some incredible climbing just before it disappeared off the radar, like way faster than the plane is supposed to be able to climb. And, you know, being a pilot myself, it's like, you don't fly into thunderstorms. They are, you know, they're evil monsters in the sky that we do not understand completely, and they have powers that are, you know, a typical thunderhead has
magic.
The typical thunderhead has more power in it than like the bombs we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, there are incredible energy in some of these thunderstorms, and then you fly into them, and you know, you take any chances.
I take a whiz on your composite new whatever. You don't know.
I'm
plane.
I'd be real surprised if the plane just didn't rip the wings off the plane and it just torpedoed into the ocean. You know,
North Korea did it. Damn it.
Too bad. For, you know, I mean, those people, and you know, I mean, you're gonna stuff 130 people
damn in North Koreans
tiny little metal tube and hurl through the sky 500 miles an hour every now and then. It's not gonna work out well.
Well, you know, that you mentioned, we were talking off air, you kind of mentioned Jimmy Stewart movie, and I remember that movie, you know, it was all black and white. Jimmy Stewart was a aircraft, some kind of, you know,
they called it, I think it was the Reindeer. There was an aircraft. If you remember in history, there was an aircraft, I think the British made it, that was coming apart in the sky, and it took them a while to figure out what it was.
The point that it went through this, he's going, no, you can't, the stress is on the metallurgy of the whatever, and it will fall apart. And they had one plane he was on to in a test flight, and he pulled the landing gear so it just fell down on the, you know, so they wouldn't take it out. And then they arrest him and all that. And at the end of the movie, the one variable that he didn't do in his testing of the vibration was he didn't lower the temperature in the hangar because it was up at a higher and more fragile, you know, whatever. And it went longer life than what he and his calculations were. But as they fixed the plane, they go out, the tail fell off on the runway. So they're like, ooh. Okay, I guess you were right. You know, it just fell off. And a variable that he didn't take into consider was temperature. I remember that. That's, I mean, this is like a 40s movie or something.
Yeah, well, they had a, I think it was, you know, when they first started having pressurized planes. I can't remember the name of the company. You can look it up later. But they, the windows, there's a reason windows are oval in airplanes by square.
I think it was the Comet, wasn't it?
I think so. And what it was, they were having cracks at the corners of these windows because they made the windows square, and the stresses for the pressurization were in the plane was coming apart in the sky, and they couldn't figure it out because it was, new. We think we know everything, but it takes us a while to figure it out.
Well, you know, they had, because of the short hops in Hawaiian Islands, you go from, I don't know, the Big Island to Kauai or something like that, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They go up to, you know, altitude, back down, up and back, up, back. And then it's, of course, a corrosive kind of salt air anyway, didn't help. And then I remember it was a decade and a half ago, an entire upper section of the
plane just pulled off. Yeah.
Just pulled off. I mean, the thing came and landed without the fuselage.
A convertible airplane. People are flying in the, strapped in their seats, basically out in the wind.
Well, a lot of them just, kind of, went with it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was only one person. I think the stewardess, like, gone. But
but there were people and it was just this. It was just, metal fatigue from them pressurizing, depressurizing, and they had enough, like, bending the paperclip enough, that there you go. So now they're like, of course they expect, these planes are old, but the older ones aren't falling out of the sky.
No, they basically take them apart after so many hours they're flying. They strip them right down to damn near the nuts and bolts and put them back together again to inspect them. So,
yeah, well, you've had your plane inspected. Well, you don't have a plane now.
No.
You sold your plane. The plane.
Yeah, the plane.
The plane. But, you got the land.
Yeah.
And is it 9 acres? Could you land your plane on your property, you think?
Not my plane, but
Ultralight.
Ultralight scan. They make some pretty kit built planes that are specialized in short takeoff and landing, and I could do that.
I've thought about it. I want to do something like that.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Wait for it. And then the other guy said, here come the presidential debates. It's going to start, man. Anytime we're going to get the, and here we go.
It's going to be a Clinton and a Bush again. I mean, really? Are people going to be that foolish?
Oh, no, it's even better. McCain.
Oh, yeah, but he's just fought it. He's not going.
It's going to be even say anything.
The powers that be, it said, we're going to keep rerunning this Clinton-Bush thing, man, the last 50 years. I mean, the country's only been around 250 years, and basically the last fifth of it's been controlled by these two political families. Really?
Ew.
Yeah, here you see, Bush Sr. and Clinton are like, they're the best of buds. They're over there having Thanksgiving dinner with Barbara Bush cooking for you. Like, really? People haven't figured out they're the same people.
It's the same people.
They're not even putting on a good charade that we have a choice anymore. It's just the same people, and they're going to rerun another Bush and another Clinton. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Was there anything else on the list we wanted to?
Nope, that was it.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and go to, in the last segment of the second hour, we'll start with this. All right, let me go ahead and get to the graphics for what you're doing out there in the Lone Prairie of Okay. Do I just go in order?
Yep. I put them in order so that they kind of chronologically will show the, you know,
okay,
the work.
Okay. I'm just gonna pause it and do it manually. So you got to walk us through.
Okay.
Okay. Now this is what we're showing here. Bob is out in the middle of the freaking John Wayne movie. Okay. And why did you tell people why you moved out there? Where you're at? Describe where you're at.
Well, about 50 miles west of metropolitan Phoenix. I used to live in Phoenix and commute out there because I work at the power plant out there. And, you know, when I got married and had children, I decided I wasn't going to spend 2 hours a day of my life when I could be with my family on the freeway. And, you know, they were building construction.
And,
that was
and
the
it
housing,
was getting busier.
The housing
busier,
boom was going busier. On out there. And I just said, I'd seen what happened on the East Valley. And I go, like, yeah, I'm going to live my life in traffic going back and forth to work. So I decided that I was going to... you know, move out there. And when I once we get out there, I was kind of like, wow, I should have been out here 10 years ago. I used to drive through that and go like, why would anybody in their right mind live out here? And now that I'm out here, I'm like, why would anybody in your mind live in the city? You couldn't get me to come back in.
The glow over there. Well, you're because I remember when they were building Palo Verde and when they first started it, they would have what do you call it? You know, carpools, you know, that you have vans that would go around, pick people up to take them out to the plant.
During construction, it was Greyhound buses. We used to all get on buses.
Really?
Oh, yeah. During the early, because I got out there when they were still building the place. And it's, I used to get on big caravans of buses that go out there because the freeway, I-10 wasn't done.
Really?
The freeway used to stop at, like, out by that defunct horse track that's out there by Cotton Lane. Yeah, you used to have to get off the freeway, come in the back way, and then it went, it was a big upgrade. They finally went to, like, Litchfield Road. That's where the freeway stopped.
How the hell did you get in the valley going from L.A.?
You used to have to go on the back roads. Basically, in all the roads, when we had those big floods that washed out the bridges on Indian School that stuff, it was all, you know, traffic
I remember
up.
There was a guy, it lived in Tempe or something, that worked out at Palo Verde. They made a big deal out of him when it flooded. He flew his ultralight to the reactor.
Yeah, and... yeah, the Deck Park Tunnel, downtown Phoenix, where we were talking about the parks and Patriot Park, that Deck Park Tunnel, that was the last piece between Florida and California that got finished. Arizona was the last piece of I-10 that got completed coast to coast.
Yeah, no, the freeway system here has got a lot better, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is pretty, but the problem was the way they did it, they would build all these developments out in the Del Webb and do the city and go, they go, oh, we don't have any highway to it. God, I guess we got to ask the taxpayer for that. You should bitch about that. We get you a freeway. Yeah. You know, so they'd always kind of, you know, build the houses and
just
the freeway will come.
Just another dollar will get rid of this problem.
One more dollar. So the you moved out there and you are past the place. So how many miles from Phoenix are you out in the west?
Yeah, you know, probably close to 50 miles.
50. So, you know, it's like an hour drive. I leave here. It takes me about an hour to get out to you.
Yeah, about that.
You know, so you go out. So you're out, you know, in the summer. The zombies are going to be beef jerky for the
American. That's right. Jerky zombies by the time they get out there.
They're just not going to make it. So the now off the freeway, you see you're kind of raised up, you know, getting up on the mountain a little bit. You look down at, like, I don't know, maybe a 3-degree angle or something. You know, you see the freeway out in the distance out there a few miles from the freeway. So you're not, like, right there.
Right.
But you can see what's what. And the exit ramp there. So you get out in the you're up against, now, behind you, what we're looking at here on this graph. That's BLM land.
BLM. It's there's not a whole lot between there and Mexico. You know, 50 miles of, like, you know, jerky zombie making kind of stuff.
So you're good. So then now you have like 9 acres, but this is I don't know what a 4-foot high cinder block wall around kind of it's a backyard.
Right. You got to keep the snakes and the rabbits out.
So that's really all that's good for. The coyotes
jump
over
that. Yeah, it isn't really good for that.
Yeah, they just there's a desert.
Rabbits can climb block walls. I never knew that.
Do they really?
Yeah, the rabbits go right over that like there's no tomorrow. They
jump over it?
Yeah, well, they like scale it. It's, I don't know. It's
jump on the wall?
I've watched them go right up and run along the wall, but they're easy to get with the .22 then, though.
Bing! You know, this is what you have. You created, like, grow beds. You've done a lot of different planting. You've planted citrus trees and everything. But finally, you're just kind of, this aquaponic thing might be the way to go out there, especially out there. Tonopah Rob's giving it a shot. We're going to go out Monday, hopefully, and he wants to see your deal. He wants to get a bead on this. And Chad, you know, EndlessFoodSystems.com is helping him set up all his stuff. But... Even Chad's interested in your sand filter, you know, thing you got going on. So we're going to see what. See, this is all being developed. Now, what you're looking at here is just looking off the back porch of Utah Saddleback Mountain. Maybe we get a better picture of the mountain later.
We see all the holes in the little pillars. You were out there that day with Lauren or whatever. And remember, we dug
Laura.
Those holes.
Yeah.
Laura, we dug all those
gotta
holes.
Got to say it right, man. Laura. I went through a whole day getting that right.
Laura.
Yeah, it's Laura, but from Finland. So, yeah, that's right. You know, we were out there digging these, what do you call those? Little foundation posts.
Yeah,
you know,
little post holes.
So we did this, and what's the dimensions of your hot house here?
It's 24. 4 feet long and about 12 foot wide.
Okay, so it's a, you know, got it going on. So then we go to the next one. All right, there's the back of your house. Now tell us about your land out there in the house that you did. How did you get that? How big a home are you powering off grid?
It's, you know, about 2,300 square feet, and it's, you know, it was a manufactured home. When we went out there, we were going to build a rammed earth home, but you know, you go through the banking system. You got to have money up front, or you got to sit there and get a construction loan, and the interest rates was unbelievable. And then finally, we just like, you know, screw it. You gotta get it done. So we had a manufactured home brought out so we could, you know, convert the construction loan into a conventional loan and be done with it. So
yeah, it's not really like a mobile home. It's like a, you know, it's a 2x6 construction.
Yeah, and it's sitting up on, you know, basically a foundation of you know, steels, and it ain't going anywhere, and it's as good as any stick built home I've ever lived in. I mean, it was a high end mobile home.
Yeah, 2x6. Well, it's got quite a bit of air. You got a lot of living space in there, so it's nice. You know, it's, and you got it oriented. Would you change the orientation now that you've been out there? Would you kind of turn it on the pad a little bit? Or you good?
No, I'm pretty good with the way it is.
Okay, so you put a wrap around. Well, it's almost. Yeah, I think it's almost wrap around now. On the other side, you have it undercover, and then you built this big slab out here and undercover, and put the hot tub there. So then you're just going, yeah, let's go ahead and do some greenhousing. So we're going through here. Now, you also have built other... What's this here?
No, so those are the walls of the greenhouse, as you see. Basically, I just took and did dimension lumber, 4x8 sheets. You know, I was trying to make this, so I did as little, you know, as standard stuff as you could.
Yeah, you're a Lego block building.
Exactly. And there's my my youngest boy. He's out there helping dad. You know, I gave him, he needed to get something on the computer, cost a couple bucks, and I go, I have a job for you.
Yeah.
And
get the paint, boy.
And he got right out there with a roller and had at it.
Okay, so now these are the panels. And you know, so, okay, you put the wall up. Now, the reflective Mylar insulation inside panel thing, tell me about that. What's up with that?
Well, if you looked at the painted side of the wall, that's facing due north, and the Mylar side is facing due south. So basically, in the winter sun, you'll see later on some of the pictures as I got the glazing up and stuff like that. I figured, you know, I could buy plain lumber that didn't have any reflective coating on it, and for, you know, a buck more, you get they use that in roofing for insulation, but it reflects the sun, gives me more light during the wintertime on my plants, you know, a little more even lighting in there, so that's why.
Yeah, we're going to go through the step by step. I just want to get it in the archive here. You see what he's doing, because when we start getting into how he pimped out the inside and starting adding grow trays and different kinds, and you know, there's a lot of innovations here that we're going to, you know, share with you, that I think you're going to be surprised at how much food you can produce.
I'm hoping,
because this was a test. You know, Bob just like, I want to see you if you own a 4 square foot area. How much? Oh my God!
Yeah, we should have some other pictures further on that show the, you know, when I did it out in the open summer just to see how it could live, and it did.
Yeah,
Arizona, middle of summer, and it made it through it. So
yeah, so this is it. We're doing all this experimentation for you, and we're going to get you updated when we come back in the third hour.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, online at thelibertybeat.com. I'm Brian Hagan with your Liberty Beat for Wednesday, December 31st, 2014, New Year's Eve. Gold is trading around $1,202, silver around $16.21, and Bitcoin is trading around $312.61. Today's precious metal price is brought to you by Midas Resources Incorporated, helping clients convert their paper 401ks and IRAs to solid gold and silver. Get their 10 Reasons book free by calling 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. How much food is in your pantry right now? Could you feed your family for 2 weeks, 1 week, even 3 days without any help? Keeping an emergency food store in supply is the most effective way to begin to ensure your family's well-being during an emergency. eFoods Direct is food security for whatever the future might hold. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/LibertyBean or call 800-620-5520 to learn more about food security in a time of crisis. In the news, despite the FBI saying otherwise, the New York Post, CNN, and other news outlets are reporting that it's unlikely that North Korea played a role in the hack of Sony last month. They cite a three-hour briefing held in St. Louis this week by U.S. cybersecurity firm Norse, which provided the FBI with information linking several individuals, including a former Sony employee, to the hack. Despite the new evidence, the FBI is holding firm to the North Korean connection. The Sony hack reached its pinnacle when the company pulled the satirical film The Interview from theatrical release, based on threats made by the hackers due to the film's comedic portrayal of an assassination attempt on North Korea's leader. Late Tuesday, thousands of Russian protesters gathered in the streets to condemn the conviction of a popular Kremlin critic. Alexei Navalny and his brother Oleg were convicted of stealing over $500,000 from two firms and sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. Navalny's sentence was suspended, but his brother's was not. Beginning on January 1st, 21 states will see an increase in minimum wages. Alaska, Arkansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota recently approved increases during the November election. Critics of the pay raises say it will force businesses to cut down on hours and hiring. The Liberty Beat is sponsored by My Magic Mud. Detoxifying tooth powder, the most effective and affordable dental care around. Get a 150 application jar at MyMagicMud.com. Support also comes from the Conscious Resistance Network. Videos, news reports, and articles from a spiritual anarchist perspective. Experience the Conscious Resistance at theconsciousresistance.com. This is the Liberty Beat for Wednesday, December 31st, 2014. Check out the website at thelibertybeat.com. A new genetically modified version of tall fescue turf grass has been cleared for cultivation by the USDA without a study of the long-term effects on the environment. The USDA released a statement saying the process used to create the product does not involve the use of a plant pass for gene transfer, so they have no authority to regulate the crop. The Capital Press reported that an anonymous breeder warned about cross-pollination between the turf grass and other common grasses. A resolution calling for the creation of a Palestinian state and an end to Israeli occupation has failed after no votes by the United States and Australia. Five nations, including the UK, Lithuania, Nigeria, Korea, and Rwanda, abstained from voting. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power called the resolution a staged confrontation, and U.K. Ambassador to the U.N., Mark Lyle Grant, said he was disappointed that the normal and necessary negotiation did not take place on this occasion. Russia criticized the United States for attempting to monopolize the decision-making process. Today's broadcast of the Liberty Beat is made possible by Central Texas Gunworks, your online source for firearms, firearm accessories, and ammunition. They take major credit cards and now accept Bitcoin. Visit them online at shop.centraltexasgunworks.com. Want to reach tens of thousands of like-minded listeners every day with your message or product? The Liberty Beat is looking for sponsors for their daily news service. Support this grassroots media project while expanding your reach to a targeted market. To find out more details, just go to thelibertybeat.com/advertise. This is the Liberty Beat for Wednesday, December 31st, 2014. I'm Brian Hagan reporting, reminding you, spread liberty with a smile.
In a dramatic scene last night, a coalition of the nation's damaged women staged a drunken, tear-soaked march on the Capitol just after 2 a.m. Jane Carmichael has more.
Thank you, Brooke. The damaged women began their protest yesterday afternoon, marching on the National Mall at about 4 p.m., and then marching away furious, saying they were done with Congress once and for all. But then they came back again late last night, insisting that someone in Washington listen to them for once. The late-night protest started with tearful apologies, but quickly moved to anger as marchers demanded that Congress pass a bill making it illegal to say you love someone and then up and leave as soon as there's one little problem.
Why are you ignoring us? Stop ignoring us! Why don't you hear me when I talk to you? Wipe the smirk off of your face! No, come back! Come back, because we think that you... We want you to care about us!
I don't need to be
News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
But we are relatively concerned. There are things to do. We look at, we got, I tell you, what's the Jeb Bush news, man?
You know, he's going to run. He just quit all of his board. I mean, it's not, oh, I'm thinking Shocking. Of it. I'm thinking about it. Maybe Sunday night. He's running.
Which means what?
Which just means I can't believe the American electorate is going to be that either. Yeah, well, I they're not stupid, although the Democrats think they're stupid from what's his name. You know, they're just too stupid to know when we pull this off. But I think they're just so disenchantized that they just, you know, they're going to run another Bush-Clinton. I mean, 40 years of continuous Bush-Clinton influence within the country. I mean, like a fifth of the time the country, less than a fifth of the time the country's been around has been influenced by these two families. You gotta
be kidding me. Okay, now think about this. George, you know, Daddy Bush was ambassador to China. Director of the CIA freaking A.
All the way back into Nixon.
Yeah, no, this is 70s stuff.
Yeah.
Then he's VP. They go to explain it to Reagan. Yeah, the only way you'll see the White House is as a tourist or dead, you know, unless George...
Yeah, and they tried.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, ew. So you got George Bush, Daddy. So you put him in there. In the White House's VP, and then so that's at least say 70s, let's say late 70s, they're like ew. And then so let's go from 80 to 90, then 2000, then 2010. So we're talking at least 30-35 years, because Obama's just, you know, Bush 3.
Yeah,
so.
And they had Hillary in you know, Secretary of State, and you know, I mean, these families have been entrenched in our politics for the last 40
it's
to
amazing
50 years.
Between, you know, after George W. is out, they're just like how much him and Clinton are buddies and stuff during
Barbara Bush is cooking them, you know, Thanksgiving dinner together, and they're, you know, jumping out of planes up in Kennebunk, Maine together, and they're just best of buds.
So I, you know, Jeb and Hillary, and that's going to be the argument. You know, who really? Do you want to get the call at 3 a.m? I'm anybody else? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
I mean,
there's not a phone to answer. I mean, you know, I just like, what phone?
An answering machine would be better.
Yeah, you know, we'll get back to you. We're out being free and stuff. Yeah, you're free. We're going golfing. All right. Well, that's part of what we're going to be talking about, you know, is the how we're going to be free. And the thing is to me, it's not really that complicated. You know, it's just you're not dependent. You just, you know, you're taking care of business, you know, and you know, I don't care-ism. So let's go ahead and go through what you're doing out in Lone Prairie, because we've been doing this. You've had projects. I have projects for, God, since we've known each other, you know, yeah, 20 years.
You got to have a project.
Yeah, you learn stuff. I've learned a lot. You know, Bob's Mr., you know, he remembered his algebra from, you know, school, so he can figure stuff out. He's like, and this will last this long for doing this? And so we're just flipping through the pictures here of him and the construction of that. He had a hot tub off the back of his home, off the back porch there, looking west into the sunset. And he goes, yep, I'll do this. I have my own hot tub. You know, I don't have to go down to the hot springs. And you built these side walls that went out, I don't know, was it 24 feet?
Right.
And 12 feet wide. I thought it was smaller than that, but you're, you know, this is pretty big. So then, we have this reflective insulating panel, and you're saying there, one, it's insulated, two, the reflection of the low sun, as we'll show later, it goes through the polycarbonate transparent covering, it reflects off of this back panel, so you get more use of the light.
Yeah, and you sit there for, you know, a couple of bucks, they had it, and you go like, well, why not? You know, it, there's no downside to
well,
it.
Well, you still have it open at the bottom, so you're not, you're getting airflow.
No, I finally get that closed off, but you basically just have it walled off with some styrofoam right now that I backfilled with dirt, but I'm going to put brick in there. I was, you know, I need to get it closed off by as winter was coming, and there's just so much project that can get done. But it's closed off now.
Okay. Well, you got that. So here's the wall. And that's, tell us about that mountain. That's a Saddleback Mountain. That's a beautiful view.
Yeah, it's just Saddle Mountain west of Phoenix. It's, you know, an old, I guess, volcano that's slowly being turned into dirt and sent out to the Colorado.
And so this is... Now, you chose this design. Tell the people how you picked this design. You ordered the wood for this. It's kind of like a barn shape.
Yeah, well, you know, it was, I was going to, you know, hoops and this stuff, and I'm going, well, I could bend metal, and I got to figure out how to attach the glazing to it, and then, you know, you'd sit there in PVC hoops, and they'll get old, and get in. And then it dawned on me, I was like, well, how could I do something in framing? I didn't want to make it square or, you know, regular pitched roof. And sure enough, the internet answers all. It's like I took a gambrel roof calculator, and it just came up. You give it the dimensions of the span and the height and the this and the that, and it goes, cut your boards like this. And you basically can build a little barn roof thing.
And I remember you came here with a bunch of the pieces. Did we cut the angles here?
No, I had all the angles cut. I just need to borrow your arbor press to put those little nailing plates in there. And instead of hammering them all in with a hammer, we just use your press just to press them all together to basically
make trusses. For making the dome ends and stuff. So we did that. Yeah, that's right. It has these big plates that have the little nails or whatever, and you kind of just presses it in. Boom, you got yourself a
truss.
So and you had the sides, and you had the one like keel, you know, the beam, the top beam up, and then you just kind of put them together, and it did this, you know. So you started putting it together. There you go. Now the polycarbonate, tell me about the corrugated, you know, the transparent panels that you put on this. How much were they, and how big?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly the cost. They're probably the biggest cost is the polycarbonate. I mean, they were, I probably got $300-$400 worth of the polycarbonate glazing on top of it.
Oh, is that all? I thought it'd be more than that.
And we'll see how well it lasts. I can't remember. Like I said, I was telling Donna earlier, I have it all basically categorized in my little computer, and when I'm all done, I'm going to, you know, print a report and go, okay, this is what greenhouse cost me.
Okay, now on the ends, you know, the corrugation, that openings, the little openings there on the edge, you have some kind of foam fill in?
Yeah,
something?
They have it. Well, they have a little, you know, plastic thing you put on there that kind of, you know,
seals it,
but it's not airtight. When I'm all done, I'll foam it in with that, some of that expando foam.
Okay. And then on the other side of the wall, what we're showing is imagine you got, you know, a little barn that has a transparent roof, and then on the side of it, there's like these solar panels, but they're not electric solar panels. What are those?
Those are just hot water panels. You go on Craigslist, you buy them from people who have had them on their roof and didn't take care of them. And
yeah, well, I've been looking, and I haven't found
them. Oh, they're on there. I'll help you. That or people have
boom, done. I need them for my fish. I'm out there.
People have scrapped them for copper, because all they are is copper piping on in the back of them. So you basically, they get leaks, and people would ask, they damn near pay you to take them off their roof. You take them out, you flip them over, you fix the leak in the copper piping, and bingo, bang. You're good to go.
Yeah, well, bingo bango, find me one, because I just finally found the Mylar I needed for the satellite dish, you know, to do the concentration that we're going to be, and I just ordered it like 2 days ago.
It'll be good by the time July rolls around.
I know. I got the Mylar sided bubble wrap insulated, you know, whatever it is, you know, and for putting around, I guess, a hot water heater or something. And we put that on the pond, and then we, you know, pump out some of the cold water in the mid-level, and then we crank up the hot water from the washing machine, just put it in there to get it hot. I don't know if the fish like that. I don't think they like regular tap water. They're just like,
yeah, you know, but it's warm.
Yeah, they like that. You know, it's one thing, tilapia, they're a warm water fish. They start getting down below 60, and they don't like it. They want to sit there and just kind of, I'm in hibernation.
Yeah, but you got to have them, because, I mean, that hot tub in the middle of summertime, that water got warm, but they like, yeah, this is cool, we dig it. So they got to have the warm water fish.
Yeah, they like that. Well, you know, so you're using the solar panels to kind of, you know, heat some stuff. This is a good shot right here. You know, that's what's that one little electric solar panel?
That runs the pumps. I get a little circulating pump that runs the water through the solar collectors, and I just power it off of that little solar panel.
So your whole thing is off that one panel?
Yeah, it doesn't use much power, so I mean, it just, as the sun comes up, it runs the pump, so it self-regulates. As the more sun on the panels, more flow through the pump.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good! So good. Mr. Anderson is in the house.
I feel nice.
Okay. Now, yeah, your boys are finally getting their lazy butt up. Hey, we're going to tune in. We click the button and listen. And
they're trying.
Yeah, say something. Say hello. Hey, boys, how are you?
Well, they haven't told me they're on yet, so as soon as they figure it all out, I'll give them a little shout out.
Yeah, archive. Yeah, whatever. All right, so now we're looking at the wait a minute. I got a loose wire in there. We need to get some soldering into my headset here thing and down with the whatever I hit my knee. The greenhouse that you constructed here, I see in the eave above the door. You put a full door in this thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's this is going to be my forever food production. I decided I wasn't going to. Once I went through the summer experiment and went like, well, the sun didn't kill the plants in the middle of the summertime. This can work. So I'm going all in.
Yeah, so you did. Well, this is going to be awesome for Tonopah Rob to come see, you know, on a small scale what you're able to produce. I think he sees the size of the leaves of this stuff because he knows his plants. He's going to look at this. I'm going, yeah, imagine 300 of them in a, you know, waist high. You don't have to bend over till the dirt kind of wicking bed of whatever, you know.
No weeds.
No weeds. That is enormous amount of his work.
That's what I heard on the interview you were talking the other day.
I've seen it. Like, I go out there. Like, they got a plow. I go, how the hell do you deal with these weeds? And he, you know, they have to walk through and pull the weeds and get all this organic stuff. They use this kind of paper, this bark paper that they have down that controls the weed. It's let the plant grow. I go, you might as well just be doing an aquaponic wicking bed, which is why I think he's doing it. I got him hooked up with Chad, went out there, and they're kind of, he's like, he's seeing the light, man. He's all over it. So go ahead and let's go over this. This is a good shot of what you got going on out there. Is you have a 24 by 12 long greenhouse, and it has a transparent roof, kind of a barn shape here, and you got some good 2x4 construction of it. It ain't going anywhere because you get some winds out there. That's why you got the windmill you can see in the distance over there. It's because, God, I hate the wind. We go out there and work, and it's a damn wind. Now it's like, hey, the wind's blowing.
Yeah, as long as the wind's blowing, I'm going, at least I don't have to get on curse the wind anymore. I go, it's making the lights go on.
It's making power. So then are you going to have any kind of LEDs or a lighting system? You got electricity going in there?
Not yet. I will eventually because I'm going to have, you know, I got to have a vacuum in there because I need both vacuum and blowing air to make the thing work when I'm priming the pumps and stuff like that. I'm going to have some pumps and I'm going to try to make, you know how I it's got to be automatic or Bob isn't happy.
Yeah, all right. And so it's, amen. I'm waiting on you.
Yeah, it's got to be easy. So yeah, it's going to eventually have it. Not right now.
Well, aquaponics, just getting the system, once you get it all dialed in and so on, it's pretty damn easy. And you want to make it
easier.
Yep.
I want a just button.
Just. Thank you. I'm looking for the
just button.
Well, this is it. So you have these two. Now, both of these pan, there's four. It's like 4x8x4 that is just hot water exchange that's going into a tank that you have another closed system, you know, that does the fish, and it just takes the heat from that barrel that you created from this, right?
So during the day when the sun shines on the panel, a little pump circulates, makes the water warm, makes the fish happy so they can get through the cold evenings out here.
Yeah, but see, that's another thing. When you got you heated the water and it's like 80 degrees and they're like, yay! And by the morning, it's what?
Yeah, 50. 58, 60, right in there.
30-degree change. They're, man, I don't know. They digging it?
Yeah, they're not belly up yet. They're fish. They better like it. No, they're going to
Donna
be in a frying
just
pan.
Came in because we covered it with that insulated thing, and I don't think there's getting enough air because it's surface area that gives you the oxygen. And I don't think they're getting enough air. She's like, where's the aerator, man? They're gulping. They ain't liking it. They ain't digging it. We're learning a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and what we learned here a lot, you know, you've taken and going, I already know where this goes.
That's right.
Did you find the aerator, Donna?
No, I just turned the water.
You just did the circulator through the waterfall thing. You know, so that'll get them oxygenated. They'll be all right. All right, let's go to the next one. And okay, this kind of shows how... Now, you have more exposure, clear, transparent, you know, roof on one side than the other. Go ahead and explain why.
Yeah, well, on the south side is where, you know, it's low in the wintertime, so I have more glazing over there. And the sun actually gets higher than directly overhead and goes actually to the north side a little bit. And so I just... Summertime, I need less sun. Here in Arizona, you want less sun in the summertime.
So that's why the aquadome is good. The shading that we put over it really works well. It also keeps enough heat in. What I'm finding, it's not freezing the tomatoes and so on because the grow beds we have are rock, and it retains enough heat that it kind of radiates throughout the night. So it, yeah. I don't have to. It's kind of covered anyway. So that's worked out really well. So I'm not worried about the plants. It's the fish.
Yeah, and that was all about the solar and that and getting this covered up. You know, that's one of the good things you can see in here. And when I start putting the floor in, that's a thermal mass. And, you know, I had my boys help me unload that. They're online right now, so I just want to say hi to Robert and Danny. They gave me a lot of help on doing this. And they say if I start doing on this blog that, you know, Danny was the one who suggested, it's like, you need to start doing this on the internet. And Ernie came up with a great idea. I think Dan will be my producer if I doing this blog. So.
That's right. And that's where it's really at, is producing, is where you learn all the stuff.
I'm going to have Danny be my YouTube channel guy.
Yeah. Let Dad just do all the kind of fill in content and edit, and you learn on, and then later, whenever you, then you can do it. Because the biggest thing is knowing how to do it. That's the big deal.
So he's going to be my producer.
All right, cool. So then you got the floor mass. That's another thing. You did pavers, kind of sanded. It's really nice floor that you did in here.
Yeah, it's going to be a forever food production thing.
It's also, like you're saying, I mean, you get a lot of heat stored in there, and that kind of keeps the heat up. You're probably going to need to seal the top of the winter up here.
Yeah, and some of the you know, pests that Tono Parab was talking about live in the soil, so I didn't want to have a lot of soil around there. I want to be able to control the environment.
That's a good
idea. There's the boys right there, you know.
Yeah, I've got a picture of you guys. Hello.
Yep, they did a lot of work. Danny unloaded every single one of those pavers out of the back of my truck. That great help to me with being, you know, my older fat back that I have.
Yeah, that's it. That's
I got young muscles helping me.
And because he loves you?
Yeah, and he loves me.
Or did he love some money?
No, a little bit.
The bit money.
Got to have the guys. You know, they work. They get paid. I want them to learn the right way.
That's the way it goes. Now, the back wall there, what is that?
It's just siding. I have my filter still out on the porch. I haven't moved, you know, I'm basically closing an outside system. So it's just plastic right in that middle section, but that's going to eventually be walled off. I just finally put the filters inside operating. I just haven't.
Okay, now this is a big black rubberized kind of, you know, super trough horse something, okay? And it's probably, what's the bottom dimensions there, like 3 feet wide by 5 feet wide or something?
Yeah, it's more like probably a foot and a half by three.
Also, this is a smaller one. Okay.
It's so a 45-gallon horse watering trough tote thing.
Okay, now this is for what, your sand filter?
That's the sand filter.
Okay, now in the bottom of it, you have a grid of fingers kind of interlocked PVC design of what? This is going to do what?
One's basically going to have an air manifold when you basically blow air in it to fluidize the bed, and the other one's water that goes basically in or out when you're either backwashing or it's operating. So the water comes in on the top of the sand, filters down through the sand, goes out through all the little holes I drilled in the PVC, and then out the tub.
Now, the thing about this that was interesting, you know, for me, is that it's when you put the shop vac on blow, it liquefies, emulsifies, whatever, the sand. It's like backwashing a sand filter for a pool.
Yeah, it's fluidized.
Fluidized. Well, it gets all the dirt and everything, and then it just kind of runs off the top. That's what he's building here, because the big problem you have with the aquaponics is you create a lot of solids. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, you want the ammonia and all that kind of stuff. That's a bacteria experiment for the plants. But the solids are, they're so good for plants there, but it clogs up everything. So you need to have some kind of a system that takes care of that with very little Bob effort.
That's correct. Little Bob effort.
Little Bob effort. We're talking about little
Bob
effort.
All right, talk to you soon, Dan.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Thank you.
ourselves with, not dying. That's always better. You know, one thing I wanted to go over is the sand filter. As you did the research on this and so on, different things, I'm wondering what other methods were people using? They had swirl this and filter that and cut. I mean, why you showed me what you did and how long it took and how well it worked in like 90 seconds, and I'm going, okay, tell me somebody else is doing something like this.
Oh, yeah, there's people on, you know, the internet. It's, a font of knowledge, and you sit there and you take different things, and they do these things on, like, industrial scale. I mean, city water systems use big sea sand filters.
No, I know, but stuff, I mean, but you would think that this would be more. Let's put it this way. Endless Food Systems does not have this system available. That's why he wants to see it, yeah. You know, and why we should show it to Tonopah Rob, because I'm going, look, you're going to be spending a lot of time on blah, 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 blah. This solves that problem.
Yeah, I'm all
with how much are we talking here to create this filter thing?
Oh, I don't know. A few $100 maybe at tops, you know, mostly time. You know, if you take all the swirl filters and the plumbing and the torch trough and all that stuff, maybe $100.
All right. So let's go to the next view here. Now, what's this?
That's one of the swirl filters. You know, so basically the water's going to come in there and it comes in those lower pipes and slowly rotates around and we'll see the big solids drop out. I'm hoping my sand filter won't get as clogged up with the new system because I have a pump in the fish aquarium and it was kind of pureeing the solids and making them so fine that they really weren't dropping out as much as I wanted in the swirl filter that I had on the other system. This one is basically I'm vacuum dragging the water over, so the solids are coming over as solids, and they're dropping out a lot better. So I shouldn't be having quite as much buildup in my sand filter.
Well, what are you doing with the solids from the swirl filter?
The swirl filter, that'll go out and feed the, you know, citrus trees or my dirt garden and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Nothing's going to go to waste. It's just it's not something you want in the rest of your system.
Oh, here you it looks like you're moving in all your goodies.
Yeah, I'm taking little pictures. You know, I got that slowly but surely put in there, get the swirl filters in. I just put the system, so now all the internal filters, all the inside filters are running the system now.
You know, Gina had a good idea. She's like, doesn't your spa have a heat scent, the old thing on it? No. Heat the water?
No.
But you can do that.
It's just a tank. It's basically just a tank.
Tank.
It was a cheap tank. Right. Craigslist tank.
Okay. Well, how much did you pay for your spa thing there?
It was like, I don't know, $100 delivered.
Really? Kind of did you use any of the plumbing that was already in there? And,
no, it was defunct. Somebody wanted to get rid of a spa they had rotten in their backyard that didn't work anymore. And so I just sat there and had this brought out, and we're using it as a soaking tub, and now it's turned into a fish house.
All right. From hillbilly hot tub to food. All right. So then you have... Oh, tell me what this is.
I just got that. That's going to be in my floating bed. That's, it was basically, it's a bunk feeder for a horse trough. But, you know, you sit there and you look at all the different costs of people having tanks for their floating rafts. And this seemed like it was, you know, push button, ready to go and cheap. So I'll let you know how that works out.
Well, what's the dimensions?
It's like
how
2 feet wide and like 10 foot long. So
that's
I mean,
amazing.
Yeah, and it's going to be more than enough to, you know,
and how
do
much was this?
It's like $120.
You know, you couldn't make
done.
Anything for
yeah.
that.
Done.
You know, that's, and you got it from a feedlot or something, whatever it is.
Yeah, a tractor supply kind of thing, you know.
You know, this is a good, you know, the one thing that I wanted to show Tonopah Rob was that he can do wicking bed stuff. He could still have it in soil.
Yeah, you just got to line it.
It's just, you know, you can really do and run all the. We're gonna help the boy out because I need him to be successful and do this so I can go like learn and do it myself.
Well, once I get my boy Dan to sit there and produce my little aquaponics channel, you know, they'll be able to other people be able to watch this and go. You know, I think that's a great idea. He's finally on and listening. So hey, Dan. Hey, Robert. I'm thanks for all the help that lets me get this done and. We're going to be eating out of this thing for a while.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a business. You guys, you know, don't laugh, man. There's a lot of opportunities here. Now, this is what is this leaf that's
it's
like three times the size of your hand?
Yeah, it's this mutant collard green kale.
You know, it is amazing. When Donna does my juice, she has to get probably, I don't know, a dozen of these leaves, and it looks like. You know, she needs one.
it's amazing. I think it might be even Swiss chard. I've gone through three or four things at the grocery store looking at. Well, it kind of looks like this, but it's really, you know, it's so hard because it's so
mutant.
It's so big mutant vegetable thing growing.
And when did you harvest? These are a bunch of tomatoes and bell peppers and so on. When did you get these?
A week or so ago, I gave them to my oldest boy's wife, she's, you know, with child, and figured give her a bunch of little fresh veggies that she can have. And so they're eating that stuff up.
This is what everybody should know. It's Christmas time, and we be harvesting vegetables.
That's fact. And, you know, I mean, I go out and just graze in the greenhouse while I'm out there. Like, say, if we get to this little video clip that I have, you know, you can see some of the stuff we're doing.
Okay, now this is your schematic for your filtering, whatever the thing. Everybody take note of this, because this is this the whole system that you have now?
Yep, that's basically, I don't have the stuff in red plumbed in yet. Everything else is there.
Okay, why is it in red? Because it's not plumbed in yet?
It's just wastewater. That's everything that's not red is good water, and the red is all going to be wastewater. That's where all the solids and all that stuff will go into that tank, and then I'll have a pump I can take it out and water the garden or the trees and stuff with it.
All right, so how just button is this going to be? What were we looking at?
I'll be able to, you know, turn a hose bib on, flip a switch, and fish water, poop water will come out and water my dirt garden. And, you know, it's going to be, if I have to, you know, I don't want to lug hoses around. I want to be able to flip a switch and direct a hose and go squirt. Yeah, that's done.
Okay, so let me do it and describe, you know, Bob, do you have any of your solar stuff in here or anything?
Yeah, it's near the end.
There's Bob. In his glory. What is it? Is this in the summer?
Yeah, it was a carrot harvest last year, the year before. We had so many carrots. I wound up bringing them down to the horse farm next door, and we just fed the horses a bunch of carrots because I just had so many carrots, I didn't know what to do with.
Well, I need more carrots than I got, you know, so I'm... This is just in the dirt, or did you
have...
That's
dirt garden. Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's in
I
the
need,
dirt.
I want to know if you can do radishes and carrots in a wicking bed kind of environment.
I will let you know in a couple of months.
I need to know this.
That's part of this whole greenhouse thing. I am going to have wicking beds, NFT troughs, ebb and flow beds, and floating rafts, and I'm going to run them all. I'm going to even have some hanging towers, and I'm going to let you know which one works best. And, you know, this is about me making food.
Yeah, the vertical growing stuff, you know, Bob helped me with on us making those tube things. So we learned that, you know, hanging straw. I just, you know, projects. Okay. So then we go, ooh.
There's Dan with a fish. Look at the size of that fish he was holding up. That fish was just being a butthead to all the other fish, so he became dinner. And we harvested him, and Dan helped me clean him, and then we ate him all up, and he was pretty tasty. Good sized fish, you know.
Yeah, that's like they're happy when they catch them at the lake.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was...
Okay, so now this is when you first started. You know, you started, you know, kind of putting in the beds, and you did that. What is that, expanded clay?
Yeah, it's a Hydroton expanded clay media that you get at any of your local grow shops. And if you're into hydroponics, it's the same thing. Aquaponics, hydroponics are pretty close to the same thing.
I see, you know, some of this black and old, you know, some of the PVC that you got there. I remember this. You had a bunch left over from when you were trying to do irrigation. You tried all kinds of different ways of farming out there.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like some of the old PVC you
repurpose. Yeah, I repurpose all kinds of stuff out there.
You know, so this is it. You know, but guys, I remember you have gone through many different types of growing. You know, like when Lee was out there doing the harvesting, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, and this, you know, and still the weed, you have water, everything grows, but you get weeds too.
Yep.
You know, so this is like a thing. Okay.
And
so
bugs, everything in the desert. Like, say, I heard Tonopah Rub say, you got anything green in the desert, you got critters.
They go, woo, look at this green over there. And then,
absolutely.
And here they come. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get through them. We'll finish this. We'll go, you know, until we're done. But this is when you first started. Now, that ice chest on the left there, that was your sand filter experiment.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. This is all an experiment. It went through the summer, and it lived, and I'm like, okay, it's time to ramp it up to, like, stuff.
Oh, then we'll get in. Here's your solar panels and windmill. We'll show you.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Skills. We've had some fun. They're inspired. Well, that's what we're trying to do is just inspire these guys to, you know, our kids, your kids, grandkids.
Oh, yeah. They want them to grow up and say, you know, I remember you can grow enough food to feed yourself in right in your backyard.
Stupid starving zombies.
Yeah. Jerky zombies. Stupid jerky zombies.
Zombie jerky. You know, this is what we're looking at now is your, let's go ahead and go through this. We have, this is a really good picture. You have solar panels. You have your, like, tough shed, but what people don't know is that there is a 10 by 10 foot cube, you know, underneath that made of cinder blocks. You just took a backhoe, dug it out, put cinder blocks in, poured, you know, concrete in the bottom and kind of almost leveled it, and then built a, like, a tough shed on top with a trap door that and a beam that went across so you can lower them damn batteries in there, you know?
Yeah.
And it got, after lead acid, you know, a few times, you're like, screw this, you know?
How you know, well, I will let you know how that's working. So far, it's working pretty good.
Nickel iron batteries from China, you know, because
Thomas Edison.
Not making it anymore. So Edison batteries. Now, what? Tell us in the orientation that you have four panel areas here. What did you start off with when you first moved out?
Those front, back two panels. You know, the ones that are basically towards the, I guess, if you're looking at the picture, towards the shed. Yeah, those
so
two.
Is it a total surface area or what?
Yeah, you know, maybe
5x9 or something.
Yeah, 5x9, 5x10.
So you have two of these, and that produces how much power?
You know, I it's 2 or 3 kW. I can't remember exactly. And I just keep adding to the system and until I've got more than enough now, so it does
well,
what
no,
I need
this
to
is
do.
My question, so people understand. Let's say you have... let's say you got 3 4x8 sheets of plywood size of solar panels you start off with about.
Yeah.
Okay, so 3 4x8 sheets. That doesn't take up that much. So you got that out there. You went all LED and everything, but you still got, you know, your big central cooling of I'm
yeah,
in the
during the during
summer.
The summer, summertime, I'm fossil fuel.
Yeah, he's got a diesel generator in another building. I don't think you have a picture of it. You got a big diesel tank, and I can power if I need to. Okay?
That's correct.
But that's, you know, that's money. I mean, that's still averaged out a few hundred dollars a month over the year if you're running that diesel thing all the time. And you're living large and teenagers and stuff. I mean, they didn't like that too much. So you're going, you know, now the cost has gone down so much, you like double, tripled your solar panels. But what those two panels that you got to say, you got a total of 3 4x8 sheets of plywood in solar panel size. How much was that?
Oh, at the time I bought it, it was, you know, probably, let's see, probably $4,000 probably.
So for the same thing you buy it now, how much is it?
$1,000.
So it's like 25% of what it used to be.
Absolutely, yeah. It's come down quite a bit.
So you going, you know what? I can just buy me some more solar panels.
I just keep adding on.
You know, that's one thing they get. You hear Elon Musk. He's got a solar company. He's got a space company. He's got a battery company. He's got a car company. They go, yes, you should have all these, you know, solar panels in space and microwave it down. And kind of goes, why? I just get more panels. What are you talking about? You know, that is it. He goes, I don't even have to get the napkin out, and I know that's a stupid idea. And he keeps going to add a popular science thing. Well, you know, we get programming, we kind of in the cool and he's going, I got a solar panel company, I got a space company, and that's still the stupidest idea. Why does this keep coming back, you morons? So this is what Bob's doing. He's going, I got plenty of room. I just add more panels, and now they're cheap.
Yeah. Now you helped me put that back row in.
Yeah, we just did the, you know, get the pan, you know, the concrete and weld the frame of, and I mean, all it is, you just buy these complete panels now. You just put them on there.
Yep.
Plug it in.
Plug and play.
Ain't no thing. Now, this is where you also have your windmill that you just pull this one nut and the whole thing folds down and then you put it back up. Tell me about the windmill. What
it
does that produce?
It's entertainment. I mean, it makes a little bit of electricity, but I don't have to curse the wind now. Now when the wind's blowing, I can at least go, well, yeah, but it's making the lights run. So it's,
well, how much power does that make?
Probably as much as two of those solar panels probably make at any given time when the wind's blowing. It's really nice. Like yesterday, it was cold and windy here, and I didn't have much sun production. Guess what? The windmill was enough to keep the batteries topped off, and I could watch TV and microwave my hamburger and not have to run the generator.
Okay, if you had a full battery pack and your refrigerator, TV, computer, microwave, how many days could you go before you're done with battery?
Just me, a couple days.
So easy. You could go a couple days.
Oh, yeah. And maybe if it's just me hanging around the house and the sun's shining, I don't...
I'm just saying if you just battery.
A couple days. A
couple days. So then, but if you have, it's hot. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's Bob. Okay. If battery went down, then the diesel starts.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, I don't have to mess with it. It's automatic.
It's Bob. I am lazy. I'm definitely in Bob's camp of I don't want to have to work.
It's not lazy. It's innovative.
Yeah, whatever. So I don't have to keep freaking doing it. So there's your windmill, and that it's only about, I mean, what is it, 4 foot, 5 foot across,
yeah,
blade tip to blade tip?
Yep.
Now, so it does its thing. Okay, now this is what's really interesting. This panel inside the shed that you have, you put like a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Heck, it's not even that big, probably. And you put it up on the wall, and each one of these components of bringing in the power from the windmill, from different panels, from it going to the house, it going into your computer, feed it of the generator, of the start, of the automatic, of whatever. You know, you keep changing components over the last dozen years and upgrading different things. Where are we at? At and hardware for this, how much would this cost to duplicate this?
Let's see. If I had to go out there and purchase all that stuff now, it's probably about $5,000. What you're looking at right there, maybe six.
So to have what did it cost you when you first started? Well, let's say the capacity you have now. You know, if you had to buy it when you started a dozen years ago, how much would it be?
Well, if I were to go out and just purchase it right now, probably about $20,000. If I would just, I needed to go replace everything, batteries included, panels, windmill, then probably $20,000, $25,000.
Now, but what would it have cost a dozen years ago?
Oh, it would have, the panels alone probably would have been close to that.
See, this is the thing. The point is that it's gotten much cheaper. The technology has gotten much better. You're having more controls. You're getting more evaluation of what you're doing and how and kind of, and you got a bead on it from a dozen years of continuous upgrade.
And it still was cheaper than what it would cost me to bring a power pole in from, across the desert from the nearest power line. So I'm still ahead.
Yeah, but you're a Palo Verde supervising management of the kind, and they just didn't love you anyway. They said, screw
still,
you.
They still want money to bring poles in.
They said, no. So now, everybody, they saw you out there. Everybody's kind of like your neighbor that has the horses out there and everything. He goes, well, I thought that I was going to get, I don't have any power.
Yeah, I had a few people when I first moved in out there show up, and they're looking around like, oh, we just want to say hi and everything. I'm watching them looking around at the, I got an electric meter out there, but it comes off of my power. And they're all looking around like, where in the heck are the power poles? Because as soon as somebody brings power in there, they're all like, oh, now I can build my house there. And
Well, they're starting to bring in power some of the places around you, right?
Yeah, it's still a pretty good distance away. And I'm comfortable enough with what I got. I don't think I'd hook
rather
up.
Not
yeah,
be...
It's like, nah, when the power goes out, I turn my lights on and go, yeah, I'm still got my air conditioning.
The thing is that you're kind of like, I just don't need the Matrix back head plug anyway.
Yeah, until the, zombie apocalypse.
Smart meter!
Yeah, turn the lights out during the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this, I see like a, dryer, ducting thing. What is that?
That's just coolant? Cool air during the summertime. I just have a swamp cooler in there that I blow cold air on it. It makes the, I'm gentle on my components because they cost money.
Well, the older ones, the heat was, taking them out.
Yeah, the heat electronics do not like heat.
I know, so. We'd be up camping in the summer, and your son called, go, hey, it went out. Of course, I was running everything, We have free electricity, until it, things melt. Teenagers, damn it. So the components here, you're upgraded. Is there anything you need to change or you're going to add to later?
Maybe eventually. Right now, I'm all into, producing food. I got my energy needs pretty well met.
Okay, so you got water, you got septic, you got satellite, you got cell phone, you have how many utility, some demand, permit lines come into your place?
Zero, unless you count the fuel truck that shows up a couple times a year to fill the diesel tank.
A dozen years. And now you're getting into the food production. You always have been doing the kind of the food thing, but it's the same. The reason why I like the dome, because anything that you build
it kind of, by the time you get around to finishing everything, it's broke. You know, it's the weather has already messed it up. The fabric is done. The materials have gone to crap. You know, with the dome, I can ignore that thing for 2 years and still get back and, you know, do something with it, you know. So I'm just, I like this good build long last I get to, as time goes on. And after a dozen years, Mr. Anderson has produced a really nice arc of, we call it like Shea Bob, you know, Moonbase Bob.
Moonbase Bob.
So this is, and the son's growing up knowing how to do this, how to plumb it, how to build, and, you know, it's not, you know, new to them.
Yeah, my boys think, you know, having a generator is just how it is.
Yeah, don't, you know? You don't have a generator?
You don't have a generator when you're like, hello?
So they might be a business for them when they really need it. What does Jim Rogers, the billionaire, say? Oh, the future belongs to the farmers.
There you go.
Yep. So we're working on it. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit here until we're done. Go to the archive. There. Done. Okay. Now let me go ahead and go back to what I want to talk about here on these panels. Right now, how much in the panels in the far right back there on those panels, that's, you know, the 3 4x8 worth of surface area, the difference in efficiency of those panels versus the new ones that you get, are they different in how much
The efficiency is a little bit better on the newer ones, but not substantially. I mean, they've got a couple percent better, but they're still... silicon wafer technology is pretty much silicon wafer.
Well, there
technology.
Are newer tech, and this is one thing I always go, hey, Bob, look at this, and they got in the spray on, and it's just, yeah, and it's going to get in. You say what?
No, where can I buy it?
Well, you know.
In a couple of years, it'll be available to the average consumer, and, you know, it's like,
liars.
Then it don't exist.
Liars.
I've been hearing that for, you know, the 10 years I've been out there. It's like, just around the corner, paint on solar panels, and it's like, yeah, where?
Well, you know what does happen is the older technology is getting really cheap. You know, 32 cents a watt versus what would you think was a good deal. I remember, it's under three, yay! Oh my God, it's under a dollar, yay! Now it's down to 30-something cents.
Yeah, you know? I think basically in the high 80s to 90s is about what you're seeing it now. The Chinese production really drove the price down, but some of the, you know, the communists went bankrupt. They didn't have enough monopoly. They couldn't, you know, I mean, they overproduced. They drove some of their own companies basically out of business by just overproducing.
So you think now's a good time to go get a pallet?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the price that it's now, it's like silver. It's almost below the cost of production.
Okay. You know. Now, this Saturday, we're going to have, you know, this discussion at the Breakfast Club of, you know, what we're going to do. And I'm thinking one of those things is getting at least a pallet of freaking solar panels. Because, you know, one pallet, they were saying it was enough to, you know, like a few people, maybe if they're as efficient as you, but you're like, some people are going, no, you're going to need a whole pallet if you want to HVAC everything.
Oh, yeah, easy. You can't air condition your house on solar panels if you got, like, you know,
a bunch.
3 or 4 times what I'm showing you right there. And then, you know, the sun still goes down at night and it's still hot.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, you know, here, how they survived here, it was Adobe. You know, the Native Americans, they had their different kind of adobe huts, and then you had the Spanish, you know, coming in, and they did this big, you know, thick, 2 foot thick walls of, and some of the old homes in Central Phoenix are still built that way. There's big giant mud walls, and they may, you know, sheetrock it inside or something, but it's just a freaking mud wall, and they're thick, and they get, so I'm just, you know, there's a lot, you know, the dome construction, you know, the monolithic dome, you spray, you know, papercrete on it, so there's all kinds of different things, and we're still working on the dome thing here. I'm wanting to go ahead and build the components for a home, because it's just a bunch of domes that can go together.
And people need to live underground. I mean, you look at Australia, you know, where they go out and do the opal mining. It's somewhere out in the outback where it's like, you know, 140 degrees in the shade all summer long. And these people, they just live underground. I mean, they get you can Google it. I mean, some of the homes there, they're beautiful underground homes that are basically carved out of, you know, it looks like something out of, you know, Star Wars on Tatooine.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they that's just the way they live.
Well, here they did it back in the 70s. I remember touring Koh Santi, you know, Paolo Soleri's Arco Santi and Koh Santi, and that's what he did. It was like, imagine this, you dig a hole, you know, and you have, like, the walls of the hole. It's like, yeah, it's like Tatooine. It's like the Star Wars. You know, they've pretty much the same construction. Heck, they probably ripped them off.
Yeah.
You know? And but one thing that he would do is that you had all these kind of in-the-ground thing, because you got a lot more take the variations in temperature out. It's how my fish are surviving in the pond in the ground. If it wasn't for the ground heat, they'd be dead, you know. But the he builds a mound of sand. You know, he would have it panned, this molded, you know, sand thing, and then put some rebar over that and then shoot concrete on it. Then when it hardened, he just dig the sand out and you got a big giant dome. I mean, it was really no more complicated than that.
Yeah. Now they're doing it with balloons. They fill up these big balloons, spray shotcrete on it, deflate the balloon. You're in the dome.
Done. Because they're monolithic dome construction, I looked at when I was going through all my father's stuff, I saw a bunch of this.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I got it out here somewhere. And this is going around for a long time. And you see them in magazines and stuff, but
it's just so hard to deal. The reason they're not more of them, it's so hard to deal with
permits,
government, and permitting, and you know, it's not the normal square footage construction kind of. They make the hoops too hard for the average guy to jump through.
You know, if I were to make any kind of a advocacy for some law or something, it would. If I could get, it's your land, and you can do whatever the hell you want. You know. Because they have that in some like Missouri and in some parts county in Washington State.
But you would have children living in squalor in an unsafe fire home, you know, and there's always a reason why you really need to have a licensed contractor do it.
Yeah, I know. How about, you know, freedom? So I see what would happen though. There would be a rush to move to rural areas in the county that aren't under some jurisdiction of the Universal Building Code of the United Nations.
There's still some counties that don't have it here. I think La Paz County, I mean, it's whatever is, you know, towards the Colorado River. I don't think they have building codes. And up until not too recently, I don't think Yavapai was kind of, you know, pretty open.
Yeah, I'm looking if it's not an incorporated city jurisdiction of the state. The counties are just political subdivisions of the state. So it's a state legislative thing that you would do, you know, most likely. So I'm just going, you know, to allow, you know, you just say you can. So I guess if we got to go to the county and say, hey, we want this taken away, well, then you got Agenda 20 whatever is going to be, you know, whining. But, you know, we're going to go for freedom. So I'm just like in 2015, is there one thing? We got to get rid of the TSA. I mean, I don't give a crap about it. There's just a side effect of this whole other thing. How about I get to be free on my land?
I just stopped flying.
Yeah. You know, screw them. You know, we drive. That's the only limitation that I really. And flying would be a lot more convenient and cheaper and all this other stuff. It'd probably be more of it. But they're. They, them, those, man.
Ew.
There's something going on.
It's just so ew.
It's ew. Cattle call.
No, if I have to, I do. But, you know, if I have a choice,
cattle shoot.
I just drive. It's more fun, and I don't have to ew anymore.
You know, there's not really a lot of places we got to wait. I have the option of going to New York to a Bitcoin conference. I want to hook up with the MadeSafe guys again. But they're going to be at one in Texas, in Austin. And I'm going... Yeah, you know, I can just drive to Austin. That's a drive, but I can just drive to Austin, which I have several times. And then I go see my mom and my sister and stuff like that. Or I can go to New York and see my nephews and my brother and sister-in-law. And kind of. So either one I can do. But if I go to New York, then I'll fly. You know, I go through, ew. And then, you know, they haven't kicked me off yet or done it. I haven't got no special initials.
You look at how it's going now. It's like you were just talking about that guy here that, you know, did the Phoenix Airport AR-15 thing, and you know, now his name is on the list, and they just to jack with him. They get on the plane and they didn't like the way he looked, and they just like, nope, get off.
No, they we're gonna find out the rest of the story.
It was some other lady, you know, you read about probably once a week, maybe once every other week if you know where to go read the news about it. You know, somebody will get kicked. There was some lady who, same thing, she
wrong
said
t-shirt
some, yeah
something.
She said something wrong to some stewardess who, you know, got upset that day because life wasn't, you know, her hair, she had a bad hair day, and she just like, nope, sorry, you're off the plane. And I mean, you're off the plane.
I want,
you know, your whole vacation trip is screwed up, and
I have the shirt that says "Kill the President."
Oh yeah,
tried that one. Yeah,
try that on the plane.
Yeah, so that one to go. That'd be good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you saw the guy, what he went through with, he had Bitcoin shirt on, and they, you know, basically, you know, thought he was money smuggling or something because they don't understand, you know, it's like...
Strip search him!
Yeah, we don't know what it is, we don't know what it is, but we know it's bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
He's one of them.
It's bad.
So it's just, ew, I don't do it unless I have to.
Well, if you, the solar panels that you have now, you're probably looking at, oh, 10 4x8 sheets, you know, worth something like that. So you do that, and I've seen people, the homes out here, they got, you know, heck, at least that much or twice that much on all their homes out here, so they're really cranking some power.
Well, yeah, when you got free money,
yeah, they just
pay you to
put it on your house.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, it's government tax break stuff. You know, I mean, you're ripping off somebody else to put solar panels on your house. Why would you not?
Can you qualify for any kind of discount of refurb or something, or you care?
I could have. I didn't. I've had people, you know, because I used to go to these little solar meetup thing. Well, you used to go to these solar meetup things, and of course they're like, you know, oh, we hug baby seals, and I get all this solar and stuff, and I go, I can't sit there and point out to the fact that basically they probably kept some, you know, poor kid from having new textbooks because you got free solar on your house. You know, I mean, you know, it's free money. You know, it's, I always correct him, but it's not free money. It's coming from somebody. You know, somebody had to pay more taxes because you got a tax break. So, you know, the very people who can afford to pay solar out of pocket are the very people putting solar on their house and then getting the tax breaks from it. You know, they're not like putting solar panels on some poor person's house to lower their electric bill.
You know, I got to tell you this story, and you know, people wouldn't believe this. Now they're like, yeah, you know, they kind of expect it. But my children went to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 6 years each. So that's like 24 kid years of freaking private education. Now, we got qualified for, it was private stuff, Arizona School Choice Trust and, you know, the Christian tuition program of the whatever the heck. So it cost us quite a bit of money, but I mean, it was a fraction of what it would have been. And it was just, you know, people supported us doing our activism, and they would get the tax credit by donating to our school or our kid's name. And that was a big Supreme Court issue where you could, you know, specify to any particular kids, could have had to be a general fund, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line was, in support of what we do, our children got a good education, because I wouldn't have done it. I told them, we were doing activism and we were starting, you know, back in the day. I go, no, my kids are not going to go through that. I pulled them out of public school. And I go, this ain't going to, well, no, get on this list. We want to help and take care of. So the community really took care of our family. And we lived in squalor and drove, you know, 9.5 years in the Roach Motel kind of thing. But, you know, our kids went to good school, which saved, we're much better off now, our whole life, and Christmas and Thanksgivings are better, you know, because, you know, stuff. So, but there was a time to when they had all these subsidies for different cars. Remember they had the flex fuel thing? And what they did is they had, if you bought a big SUV, you, with all the tax credits and everything, it was free. And you got the conversion to propane or some alternative fuel, be in the HOV lane. And you got your own gas tank, propane, whatever the hell it was.
Fueling station at your house.
At your house. And it was the way they worded this, it was so, you know, legislators.
Guys are out there buying Humvees basically on taxpayer dollar, putting, you know, a 2 gallon alternate fuel tank in it that they never used, and basically the taxpayers are buying them these brand new vehicles.
And in addition to that, with some federal and state stuff on alternative stuff, they had these, if it was a roadworthy, legal to drive on the road, electric vehicle, you got like a $10,000 credit. Well, there was these little bitty vehicles that are kind of, you know, community, Sun City, kind of...
Golf cart.
Yeah, more, a little more than a golf cart, but not much more, okay? It's like a pretty sleek golf cart. And it was like $8,500. So they made money. $1,000, $2,000. Made the money on purchasing these vehicles and then donated them to the school. And I'm going... You know, stupid is not the word.
Government.
Okay.
What were they saying last night? If there's something that doesn't make sense, it's probably got government involved.
Yeah, you know, that was Randy. We were at the party. The host, he goes like this. I tell my kids, he goes, look, if something doesn't make sense, just look for the role government's playing in it, and that's why. You know, because in a free market, stupidity doesn't survive. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. So that's all he's trying to depict, you know, or share with his family. So, and that works pretty well. So the electric cars and so on, they were these schools, these private schools, all like Scottsdale Christian this and this Lutheran whatever, and they kind of, you know, people were donating just cars and solar. Now they have a big solar panel carport they have for the faculty out there now. It's all solar right there on Indian School. You can see the solar panels, and you know they
making
they,
shade and electricity at the same time.
That's right.
That's you know they the way you do it.
That one. And then the aquaponics system, you know, Endless Food Systems, Chad Hudspeth, he goes, you know, you got contact. We'll go give them free aquaponics just for them to learn how to make their food and everything. And they're like, yeah, well, it's free, right? You know, what's our subsidy cut and kind of is there a program? I mean,
yeah, it's got to be more than free.
Yeah, we got to make something out of this. You know, we don't
free
have to
ain't
work.
Good enough anymore. It's got to be free and then some.
So this is the what we're dealing with, you know, here. And I and it was such a boondoggle. It was hundreds of millions of dollars that this was costing the state in like, I mean, it was a week, a month. I mean, they were geared up. And when they signed this thing and went into law, boom!
Yeah, there was people ready for this one. It was driving the state bankrupt. Wasn't that, was it Gross Cost?
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Grosskopf.
Didn't it cost him his, basically, I think there was something there.
He was finally, Speaker of the House.
It finally cost him, I think, his speakership or his...
Yeah, he had
his knighthood or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, they blamed him, you know, because he put it up. And, you know, these guys don't read this stuff. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They just go, yes. You know, and then there was... the governor came out, I think it was Hall at the time, she just went, no. Yeah, we're just, you know, executive order of no. We're just shutting, no. Because it was bankrupt in the state.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a bunch of the people that were doing, hey, Ernie, we got, and they got nailed. Richard, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. He got this big Navigator,
oh, yeah.
Lincoln, whatever the heck it was. It was, I tell you this is what was so funny. His wife is shorter, okay? It was so big, she could not reach to even push the button to close the rear hatch, okay? It was so high up there, she could. You had to get a little step stool just to be able to close the rear hatch. This vehicle was going to be like nothing, and they stopped it right when he took delivery of it, and he got nailed. They made him, you know, keep the contract because of it wasn't conditional on whether this program was there or not. So he kind of got nailed on that one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember it was, you know, yeah. It was like 6 months worth of like, oh my goodness, what is going on?
Just stupidness. You know, it's another thing. They had some program to where if it was a vehicle over a certain weight, like trucks and SUVs, it was supposed to be farm equipment. It was their, you know, the promise kind of thing. You know, and you know, get your F-250 and you get a discount for, you know, farming something. And the rancher guys. Well, that qualified for some Mercedes big SUVs of whatever, and you got to do the whole 5 years of depreciation in 1 year plus a bonus of some kind of, and you wondered why I can't believe all these SUVs are ever, because they were paying you to get them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know.
You know, if you got a big enough tax bill, if you're making enough money, you need that kind of, you know, write-off. You're paying 40-something percent of your income anyway. So Mark Victor was buying for a couple of years there. He's getting brand-new Mercedes SUVs that are costing practically nothing. He's taking off his taxes. He's going, oh, I can do this for free? Okay. And I'm like,
that's how it works.
Stupid. Stupid.
Unintended consequences.
Stupid.
Well, sometimes intended consequences.
Yeah, intended. Unintended is what they're telling you, but they definitely intended. Because I went through this. See, I already knew this back in, 88, 89, when I first started doing this. There was a program where it was to stimulate small companies and business and export America and bring the third world into the 21st century of whatever. And it was a $200 million government-backed guaranteed loan thing for third world countries to get refrigerators. So it was India, but the contract had only, you couldn't be more than $10,000 so that they could upgrade their kitchen. They get like a guaranteed loan of something so somebody could get all their GE appliances, and you know, they got, you know, like refrigerators in India. Okay, so when this thing became law, within a day, the $200 million was gone, and they were all in $10,000 increment contracts for General Electric refrigerators and washing machine, whatever the hell. Boom, done. One day, and I'm going, I was working with Deacon Senator Deacon Cini's office in Washington. Tim, I can't remember what his name was. Anyway, he was one of the, you know, the aide of economic, whatever the heck. And I'm going, are you freaking? He goes, that's how it works, man. Damn Republicans.
Yeah, go over there in India, and they're probably raising chickens in their refrigerators.
Yeah. It was just
they didn't even
stupid.
Have power.
Don't care. You know, and of course, the Democrats, they'd blame Republicans because they wanted to use the money for their little whatever the hell it was they wanted to do. You know, it's the same kind of just rip you off thing. So now that we got Jeb and Hillary, I'm like, am I allowed not to care?
Yeah, and you wonder why, you know, I'm off-grid building greenhouses, you know.
I mean, this,
you know, I just want to be able to put a chain around the gate and go away.
Just go away. Well, you're kind of at the end of the road. I mean, that road goes to another power plant. It's a gas-powered propane natural gas plant or something that's out past you. There's really nothing else reason anybody go by you.
No, there's a bunch of farm fields go out there. Hockwahela Valley back there used to be like big producer for Dole, a lot of orchards and stuff were out there. And they basically go out there. You can still see the piles of trees where they basically put a chain between bulldozers and just drove them and dragged the orchard under. And
why?
Dole didn't want it anymore. It was costing too much money, or the production moved to, you know, Brazil or something. And they still grow a lot of, there's still a lot of crops growing out there, melons and cotton and things like that they grow out there. But there's a lot of farm out there.
Why? Why out there are farms?
Water.
Big giant ocean of water.
I got water.
And you don't get, how deep do you go?
I'm about 500 feet.
But see, you're up on the kind of the mountain a little bit. You're kind of up. If you go even a few hundred yards, you know, away from you, you're a lot more water.
Yeah, pump water 24/7, 365. Talked about the hot springs out there, and that's what they do. They just got a big agricultural pump, you know, 24-inch pipe coming out of the ground that just runs 110-degree water out of it all day long.
See, that's amazing to me that, just use the heat exchange of the water, but I mean, you still got to have electricity. You need solar panels.
Yeah.
How many more solar panels would you need from what you got up here to be able to power your well pump?
Oh, I could do my well right there with that.
Really? You're up to that? And now with this, what you have up now, you can run a couple of window shaker air conditioner things to keep your house kind of...
Yeah, during the spring, basically I evap cooler as the humidity comes up. I get off the evap cooler, do a couple of window shakers, and then then I have to run the generator.
All right, well, when it hits 116 or something?
Well, when the humidity goes up, and, you know, I usually, my line is about 84 in the house. If it gets to be about 84 in the house, it's kind of like, you know, okay, it's time to, thank you, Donna.
Oh, yeah, we got our green slime, juice, thank you. Yeah,
it's time to, it's time to cool the house down, so.
Well, so how many months out of the year are you running your diesel?
Probably, you know, real heavy duty, about two months a year.
So other than that, you're totally off.
I can be. I usually run it a couple hours a week.
Okay,
you know,
so
for my big loads.
To be done with the diesel, I need diesel, no mas, you would need how much more panels, how much more battery storage?
Probably half as many more panels and probably double my battery.
Well, that's not undoable.
No.
Well, it's easier to do that with, you know, your nickel iron batteries because they last. You can just keep getting a couple of more every now and then.
And I've just about...
And new tech that's coming out. You know, there's a lot of new tech. Did you see that Acquia? Oh, yeah. I had you go look at that Acquia. Donna's trying to get those guys on. They sent us a bunch of stuff. They just want us to pimp them without talking. I go, no, I want to talk to you. And I got some questions. You know, I should get you on when we do that. You ask some math.
Yeah, find out when they're on, if I'm off that day. Like, say,
well, did you take a look at their page and stuff?
A little bit more. You know, I'm building a greenhouse. I'm busy.
But what's the tech that they're using?
Well, it looks like basically they're just using basically salt water as a electrolyte. And basically the chemistry that they're using is you have the tank of electrolyte and so you don't need a big physical battery size. The plates don't, you know, the plates are more like of a reaction thing, almost like a RO membrane kind of thing. And as you run the electrolyte through this, it generates electricity. But then the electrolyte gets depleted, and it goes to the depleted tank. And then sometime when you have, you know...
More, so the charge is in the electrolyte.
Yeah.
That's not a chemistry change on the plates or something. It's more the electrolyte is the charge.
Correct. The change, the ions, the free ions that you basically have to move from one place to another that causes electron flow, which is electricity, is basically all in the electrolyte. And it basically reacts as it goes past this, you know, membrane kind of thing. And then you eventually have to charge it. It's not like you can just, like, hook one up to the ocean, run a pump through it, and it just runs ocean water through it, and it's, like, runs forever. Or
next week.
Yeah. That may come. But, you know. Someone will be like, oh, we're desalinating the ocean and the seals will be sad and the sharks will be unhappy.
But anyway, so this, if you had like a bigger tank and you're just charging this electrolyte, that's where your charge is. I'm looking forward to going to the Consumer Electronics Show and see.
Again, it comes down to, it's like, you know, like Elon Musk said, I just need more. Right now, it's energy storage. You have got to have a way of energy storage that is economical and basically efficient enough that it warrants. Because if you drive between, like here in California, there's an awful lot of nothing. And when I used to fly my plane around, I mean, there's a... The Southwest is the Saudi Arabia of solar energy. There is a so much land that is can, I mean, it's, you could blanket that area with solar panels and, but 12 hours out of our 24 hour day, the sun is not shining and solar panels don't do you a damn bit of good unless you can store the power somewhere. And right now we just do not have an efficient, you know, they got the guys running the weighted trains up the
hill. I was thinking behind you, if you get that property, you know, that could be your storage of, you know, a heavy concrete-filled railroad car.
Yeah.
You know, and as it comes down, you get the power.
And there's guys, you know, I mean, I used to go on some of these energy websites and people were taking just towers with weights on them, like big clock, you know, big clock weights just on a big grander scale. And just, but it's, it comes down to, you know, what's it cost you? What's the efficiency? One of the big things they're using is compressed storage.
Compressed air?
Compressed air. Well, some of these gas plants were looking at doing compressed natural gas because they got to compress it, store it underground. Well, they go, we just run it back through a, basically a wind turbine, kind of, you know, I mean, an actual compressor turbine, and generate power, get back some of the power that's just in the compression of the gas before they burn the gas.
Just the pressure gives some electricity while they burn it.
They're just recouping, but this is one of the energy storage, talking about compressed air storage, is compressing, you know, when you have extra energy, you just compress gas and you run the gas through basically a little turbine kind of thing to
they have make electricity. Compressed air engines. Well, you had the air hogs. Remember that little thing? I was impressed with that. I was that was cool. But they do it with cars now. In Europe, they have compressed gas, just compressors running, cars.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you got a couple of, you know, aqua tank 2,000-pound, 3,000-pound cylinders, and they just run a little reciprocating engine with it.
And it just keeps it compressed, and then regenerative braking, and all this kind of, this stuff is happening. You know, so we were looking, I was showing you Jay Leno's garage and them 3D printing old pieces of whatever, and he's got a bunch of electric cars. He did a review on the Tesla S, and he goes, you know, the first thing I got to give Tesla credit for right now is every other electric car they've had me evaluate or test, they brought in on trailers because it couldn't make it to my house.
Yeah.
Without charging, they had to bring it in. Tesla's the first car that it's not a hybrid. It doesn't have and it made it. Yay! It's got a range, you know? So it's happening. And I love watching the interviews with Elon Musk because he's just kind of mild manner of, you know, why are you so stupid? I mean, nobody's nice about it, but he's just going, yeah, it was obvious. You know, we go to first principles. They're always going by it now. Well, how much does it cost of this? How much does it cost of that to buy this? And he goes, no. He goes, how much does the ore cost? How much does the raw material cost? How much does the process cost? We're just going to do it and build it and make it and manufacture it ourselves because all this system that's gleaning off and taxing and getting their cut of bite me, you know, we can do it for much cheaper from we just do everything, which is what they're doing with the battery factory. So the tech with lithium ion and some of the other ways of storing actual electrical energy, have you looked into any of those?
A little bit. You know, I mean, I'm building a greenhouse. My energy storage is not where I'm at right now, but
it will be.
Yeah, well, eventually, like say I'm running this nickel iron experiment kind of thing. We'll see just how, you know, they were supposed to be forever batteries. We'll see if they really are, and if they are, I'll probably stick with what I got. If not, I'll move on to something else. But right
now, are you evaluating?
I'm making food. I'm living the dream. I'm doing it. You know, I mean, if 5 years from now my batteries are crap, I'll go, they lied to me, and I'll tell the world they lied to me, don't go that way, and I'll
but I mean, what do you evaluate? I mean, how do you tell? Is it, you know, does it give you some kind of efficiency of the whatever?
I look at, you know, how often my generator has to start, what my fuel bill is costing. You know, I keep logs on hours run on the generator and stuff like that. I got logs that go back like 8 years of like every gallon I've used, every hour it's run. I can reproduce that stuff and look at it.
You know, that was one other thing that by running when it's hot, it's 120 and oh my goodness, the real air conditioner goes on. You got to run the diesel now, you know, that you get a little more
power. And I actually got two houses out there, you know, and my older boys are in town. You know, one of them's usually living in that little one bedroom thing behind me and, you know, It's hot, and I just, you know, whatever. I just let them, I don't ride them. It's like, you know, turn the light off. It's just because they don't get it. Yeah. So, but I've just, you know,
relegated myself. I don't argue with them about it. It's like, yeah, I like having them there. So the generator runs a lot more than if I was there by myself and it was just me and I was like, you know, squeaking every watt out of it because that's the kind of guy I can.
Well,
be
you
sometimes.
Were having a heat problem. You know, when it was hot, you weren't the generator was just getting too freaking hot. So what was your solution to that?
I put a cooling tower on it, or a little cooling tank. So I got a basically horse trough out there, a little circulating pump and a heat exchanger. And now instead of having like a 2 gallon radiator, I got a 300 gallon radiator and the generator doesn't get hot anymore.
Yeah, and you had that kind of a aeration,
little spray head and stuff.
You know, to cool it down and everything. And then you have a float thing to replace the water automatically, or you got to manually do that?
That will be this year. So
manually have to put the water in the thing. You slacker.
I already have the toilet bowl float purchased and sitting on a shelf ready for me just to put in. I'm going to have to put one in the fish house too. Because I want to be able to get the boys this summer. I'm going to be off, you know,
doing stuff
for weeks at a time. I don't want to be tied to the property. So, you know, automation is, you know, going to be key.
You know, one of the things that was, I didn't know there was such a need and a lack of got it, you know, is these sensors and actuators for computers. You know, these Arduino, Raspberry Pi kind of computer on your palm thing, you know, mm-hmm. or your smartphone to run your whatever. They have these, you know, like $15 and you get them. Well, what? I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, and they had – it was for space flight controllers for satellites. Well, these, you know, four-channel version of it goes whir in the extreme conditions of it, make sure it does whatever, computer thing, actuators and so on, were like $300,000 or something. Well, these college students, you know, from MI, who cares, they come up and they said, well, we got this. It's a 12-channel for $300. And I go – that is good. And then we had Charles Pax, the MakerBot guy that did, you know, here I got my little 3D, you know, statue of him, 3D printed. And he went to Shenzhen, on the mainland in China, north of Hong Kong. There's millions of people there of violating intellectual property rights. We'd be making whatever. We didn't look it up. We don't care. Well, he's there getting a lot of stuff done, and he has temperature sensors, and Chad needed that for doing his vacuum forming of his DBS or whatever, you know, the plastic, a different. And he goes, I need it. I go, you know, I know a guy that's making these, because you look at them, they're very expensive, or they don't work, or they don't have, you know, what you really want. So because I needed the same thing for my tube furnace, making the, you know, carbon nanotubes out there, because I need a temperature gauge, because it has a probe that can go in, but it's just one. I say, no, I need like 3 or 4 different areas in that furnace, you know, in that tube there, at quartz tube. So I need to know what the temperature is in various different areas, you know, for me to really have an evaluation of the experiment. Well, that's what he's making. I'm going, well, where do you get it? He goes, you don't, or they're $5 billion. And now it's getting to where these guys just know what they need. They go somewhere, they have all the parts. There's some, you know, little Chinese kid comes in on his bicycle to get your whatever, and he takes it off, and 3 days later they come back with it, and it's done. And I'm going, ew. So he's living, you know, he did his Indiegogo Kickstarter or something on some of these controllers that he's doing. And I'm going, I'm not looking to Grainger's really anymore. I go to the internet first and just look on somebody that's making whatever.
Yeah, you go to the Consumer Electronics Show. Yeah, keep your eye open for home automation stuff. That, you know, being able to, like, your smartphone can, through the internet, control your, you know, your lights or your thermostat and, you know, that kind of stuff.
They have a lot of that.
They do have a lot of that. But
I tell you, the one I saw last year I thought was cool. You're out on vacation. You're at the beach or whatever. Somebody rings your doorbell. It rings your doorbell on your phone, and you look at it, and it has a webcam in the doorbell, and it looks at the people who's at your front door while you're in Australia or something.
Right.
And you say hello.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, those, not so much.
Police!
Yeah,
police!
Yeah, not so much wanting to be able to talk to the house, but having the house talk back to you, you know. I mean, particularly I'm away, you know, I need it to be able to, you know, I'm looking for stuff that goes, hey, things are not going right.
Ernie, go out and fix my crap.
You know, I don't want to be able to, you know, I can easily find stuff to, you know, turn the lights off, but I need something to go, hey, you tried to turn the lights on, and they didn't come on.
You know, I'm really looking forward to visiting with Tonopah Raw. Let's plan on doing that Monday because, I mean, I'll have the kid. I think I'm going to take a little Corsair out with us. You know, I'll go stop by out there and go out there because this will be cool for him to see. And it's nice weather and it's, you know, cool. I saw a Groupon, a cheap, you know, for $60, you know, 2 hours of horse riding with Don out and White Tanks out, you know, the West Valley. I go, that'll be cool. I mean, I go, yeah, that's a good deal. You know, Don will like that. So we'll go out there, try and time all that. But what happened when I was talking to Rob is from witnessing, talking to him, going out and seeing his operation, enormous amount of manpower. It is phenomenal what he has to go through in the prep and doing to keep it natural. And what I'm going, this aquaponic thing, I don't mean you just get you some fish. I mean, just for the nitrates, you know, I mean, for the ammonia that converts into the whatever. And then the wicking bed thing that you got there. Are you going to do soil or is that going to be floating beds?
No, I'm going to do floating beds and I'm going to do wicking bed. My wicking bed is going to be, though, in a container. You know, some of the wicking beds, the big wicking beds, yeah, they dig out a ditch, line it with plastic, and, you know, basically you got to isolate it from the soil. So they're just making a big shallow swimming pool and then filling it with whatever the wicking material is. I'm going to do mine probably about roughly the same size. Who knows? Maybe I'll buy another trough and do it a full size.
Before you do it, look at Endless Food Systems. They have a system for the wicking bag. They had it at the Prepper Fest. They were showing it.
Yeah, I was out there and saw. I went to this last meetup thing that he didn't go to. He called off or whatever, and it was three or four people. But I looked at the system. They get set up over here at some place over here at, you know,
Fred's, whatever.
Yeah, some horse place. But I met a couple of cool people, and I was looking at what they got. And, you know, I mean, I looked. I saw. I'm going to try to come up. I'm going to bobify it. I think I get something.
Bobified.
Yeah, so I don't need to quite go quite that route. And like I say, I'm going to go through a couple different technologies. I'm going to have I got the ebb and flow beds going right now, and they're doing well. I'm going to have the floating raft.
Ebb and flow. What the heck does that mean?
That's kind of what we're doing out here, or you're doing out there, or that beds I have. You know, they fill up, and then the little auto siphon drains them back down. Those are ebb and flow beds. Those are good for growing, you know, like cucumbers and tomatoes, things that need soil. But lettuce, you know, I get lettuce and cabbage growing, and I want to do spinach, and that's kind of really not the best media. I mean, it'll grow just fine in there, but they'll grow even better in, like, floating beds or those NFT trays. I'm going to do that nutrient film technique. It's the, you know, you get that pipe that goes, the little Z pipes out there with the holes drilled in it. The water just trickles from one end of the pipe to the other. And a thin film.
What?
Well, it'll drain back into the fish, but I'm going to do that down one whole side of the greenhouse. I'm going to have two or three of those NFT trays with, like, every, you know, every 6-8 inches, you basically have a hole, you put the little pot in it, and the plant just grows, and
The water's just flowing
The water just trickles down through it, so basically it's not a big volume of water. But
it has to go through some kind of bed to do the nitrate conversion.
Yeah, no, you take the fish water. Yeah. And you basically pump it at one end of the tray, and it just runs all the way back down. It runs, you know, in. People who do hydroponics NFT, they just have a tote full of fertilizer and, you know, water fertilizer mix.
In hydroponics, when they get the food for, what is that, chemicals and stuff?
It's just nitrogen, phosphates, whatever, you know, I mean, you know. Yeah, what is it, the NPH or NPTs or whatever, you know, you read the little, you know, 10-10-3 or whatever it is.
You know, other thing that I did, just because I need some more mineral. I just feel more comfortable having rock, granite, whatever is my media. It's a lot heavier than expanded clay, but I just figured that I'm getting, like, mountain spring fresh rock John Denver nutrient.
Probably. I want to be interested to see what Tonopah Raw, being all natural, what he's going to do, because you do need some trace elements. You know, I mean, I take...
Well, it's not unnatural. I mean, you put a little iron in it. That was one thing that one of the guys that was helping with the aquaponics, it was another guy that was working with Chad, he had his own thing, and they're doing a lot of rabbits now and stuff, but he, and in aquaponics to feed the rabbits, but he said that he takes a little piece, see that little piece of rebar that's all rusted, sitting, I had this little, like, foot long, he goes, just take that, put it in a PVC so it doesn't kind of rust the bottom of the whatever, and just throw it in your sub pump tank.
Yeah, but I've read it. No.
No. Well, the point he was making is that there is, you know, some iron needs and content of different, you know, oxidizing of something. I mean, you could throw different things in that you need to keep whatever balanced. I mean, that was his point.
Yeah. You know, from what I read about the iron stuff, you got to use chelated iron, and it's so you have to go through some chemical process to make it so that the plants can take the iron out of the water, because iron doesn't naturally exist in water, it in the form that a plant can use it, and out in the dirt garden is actually like bacteria that live on the roots down in the root ball that basically will take free iron and actually chemically transfer it, and it's a little symbiotic relationship between this bacteria and the plant, and the iron will be transformed miraculously by this bacteria into a plant, a form the plant can have, and basically that doesn't happen in aquaponics, so you got to have chelated iron. And everything I've read or looked at it is says, no, you got to have chelated iron. Just having rusty pipes in your water ain't going to do it.
But how you, what's chelated means? It's dissolved in liquid?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they do silver chelate for, you know, medicinal purposes and stuff. You know, they hear people who use a lot of silver.
Colloidal.
Okay. Chelate, colloids are all the same thing. It's basically, it's...
Electrically, pull the atoms off and the ions of the...
Yeah, whatever, and it mixes with the water better and the plant can suck it up easier and get it through the plant wall kind of deal.
Well, this is all stuff that I'm sure, you know, Rob's going to be interested in. And he's, what, 5 minutes from you out there? I mean, you could, you know, go over and kind of help the boy out as we learn more stuff from him. You first.
You see a lot of this stuff happening. I mean, even all this off-grid stuff. I learned that all basically through the internet. You know, if I didn't know that, I would have had, other than the fact I kind of know my algebra, I would have had to, have someone come do that. And, you know, I mean, the internet has made it so we have a font of knowledge now at everybody's fingertips. Hell, you can get... You know, anything you want to know, it's usually in your smartphone kind of thing, or at least is a pretty good...
FDA approved?
Yeah, sooner or later, it's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sanitize and make it all FDA approved. They don't necessarily like you having all that information.
Nah, I don't care. There's, Gina's sister has cancer, and we were visiting with her. We went up there, Barry, they got a freezer that they gave them or something. They remodeled their kitchen, and we were talking about it, and she's... She's a scientist, an analyst that, going through it. And she's looking for the approval of somebody, 4 out of 5 dentists kind of thing. And I'm just like, no, that's not where, no. The information and the truth is rarely at some government page.
I was really surprised. Give Arizona credit. I mean, they just passed that law. It's signed in. It was one of the laws that took effect at the ring of the bell of 2015 is... Arizona now has the right to try.
Right to try what?
All these things you do. If there's a cure out there for a disease that somebody's trying, and bee sting you in the eyeball will cure terminal death, blindness kind of thing. Before you couldn't try it. You had to be FDA approved. Now Arizona's got a law that says no. If there's some sort of cancer treatment, whatever, you're going to die all FDA approved things have to have been tried and failed. But when the bottom line comes down, you have the right to be able to go, I'm going to roll me a fatty and see if that'll work.
Right to try. If I looked up right to try, that'd be...
That's what it was called. It was the right to try.
Right to try. This is something to send, and that'll send them over the edge if I'll try something else,
Yes. Of course, you have to exhaust all the approved methods first, which half of those...
Exhaust all administrative remedies I'm dead.
Yeah, half of those will kill you, But, at least you give them benefit of the doubt that they at least tried.
All right, I put it in here. Right to try Arizona. I go, yeah, vacation spot. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it won't. What? Okay, I'll just go to this computer. Let's go ahead and try this. Right to try Arizona. See if Bob's full of it. Yeah, what is this have you seen this new search thing that defaults Yahoo something on Firefox?
I don't know. I don't use Firefox, but, my boy's computer, of course, they're downloading... God knows what. They probably within every 2 months, they jack their computer up to the point where I get something going on with their browser now that every time they click on something, it's like comes back and, page not displayed or, I cannot display page. And I think it's got some sort of a bug virus.
The Arizona Terminal thing. Patients Right to Try referendum, Proposition 303, was on the November 14 ballot. I didn't even know it. You're still voting.
And it passed.
As a legislative referred state statute. So that's the legislature put it on for the people to vote on. That's what they did. The measure will allow investigational drugs, biological products, or devices to be made available to eligible terminally ill patients. Eligible, what's that? By who?
Oh, they give the criteria. All FDA-approved methods of trying to cure you have had to be an exhausted and failed.
See, this is, but they made it, by doing that, they made it blatantly illegal not to go through the process of screw me, we were doing it anyway. You know, so I, it's always, you know, the, let's see, the term investigational refers to medical treatments that have completed phase one of a clinical trial but have not yet been approved for general use by the FDA under investigation and clinical trials. So it's still the pharmaceutical kind of what it's bypassing FDA approval is what it is. Yeah, you know, we're going to allow whatever somebody, but you got to go through all kinds of crap.
No, don't die of Ebola while we're waiting for the FDA to approve it. Try the, you know, try the experimental drug. Be the guinea pig for us.
Right. From Bear. Yeah. Because we love you. All right. I get it. Well, it's better not. Maybe. I don't know. I don't trust these guys.
No, but at least it goes to show you. You know, it's kind of like the whole concealed carry thing when we did it. It's like, you know, oh, my God, the people are going to start treating themselves. Well, we'll pass a... You know, we'll pass a law to, you know, give them permission, and then we can control how they're going to go about it. It's the first step in the path. People are eventually, like, you know.
I think this is, it's a last-ditch effort to remain relevant.
Yeah, control.
Yeah, I think the relevancy, I'm like, and I don't care. Because, you know, a lot of people, my grandmother was like this. She was suffering. I mean, you know, she almost died of a heart attack in her 80s, late 80s, and her daughter-in-law, you know, Aunt Harriet, she revived her. You know, she was medically trained, you know, and revived her and put her in. And she complained since then, you should have just let me go. You know, I'm good going to see my mate. You brought me now, I got to go through all this crap. You know, heck, that would have been a peaceful, you know, whatever. Yeah. So she, her biggest fear was not being able to breathe. That was one thing, and she kind of went on respirator. I go, Grandma, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I just don't see your. It's not time for you to go yet. You know, there's kind of, so after she recovered from that, she couldn't talk. She did not like. That was her biggest fear, and I think she, you know, she had breathing problems when she went out, and she was in such pain, you know, for a lot of stuff, and 94, I think, when she died, and she couldn't get any relief. She finally, there was some leaf or something from Hawaii. There was some Hawaiian plant that, you know, that made her feel a lot better, and then they regulated it, or she couldn't get it. Like, Grandma, you don't have to suffer. You know, I get freaking heroin, morphine, marijuana. What? You tell me what you need. You know, grandson, take care of business. Don't worry about it.
Now, what are they going to do? Kill you?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And she's like, no, I got to follow the law, no. And I'm like, that attitude right there, I don't think is prevalent, certainly younger
people. It does not exist
now.
No more.
Yeah, and that's what they're counting on. Yeah, but the law says, and everybody's going, yeah,
nah.
I fart in your general direction.
Yeah, that went out in the 60s. People are done with that. The Richie Cunningham, happy days kind of mindset was all killed during the whole LBJ Nixon thing. People, and it's only gotten worse. I mean, government has done nothing but gotten more repressive. People have gotten to the point where it's like, they don't trust them. They don't like them.
It's all Bush and Clintons.
It's gotten to the point where, you know, people, it's not just they don't like them or they don't trust them. They now see them as an adversary. You know, there's a significant population in this country that looks at government as the adversary. They're the bad guys.
Yeah, you know, and, I tell you how it is.
And so they don't feel bad about not doing the law.
Yeah, right. Okay, I give you an example. It's like, the Bloods and the Crips are going at it in, you know, East L.A. of that's the death, dying, and destruction and the water. Ooh, and our Budwig. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
And it's like, you know, death, dying, and destruction, you know, of what's going on. You go, wow, I shouldn't go in that part of town. Yeah, you know, Harlem might be a bad place. Go, oh, you know, Ferguson at this time, probably not a good idea. Oh, I don't go there. Okay. Because the gangs are there. The fighting is there. And I'm going, that's how I see government. It's like, I don't go there. I avoid them. I don't want to fix them. I don't want to change. I'm not taking responsibility for what I just, they don't represent me. And I think that attitude is just being so prevalent. It was a big discussion last night. They were about this Russell Brand Revolution logo book thing. They were just, yeah, but Ernie, don't you think? I'm like, why are you so upset, you know, for me or Ron? I'm like, what the heck did you think I was trying to do?
Yeah. Well, it's like, say, when Laura. When Laura was here, she said, what was the thing that was prevalent? Why were people prepping? What was all the difference? It was that one mindset.
They didn't have a choice.
That was the only thing they could do that they could control, that felt them they were in a little bit of control of the out-of-controlness that is.
Yes, they had no choices. This is the only choice that they had to have an impact on their lives.
Right.
And a big impact, and they felt better. And I know exactly that feeling, because when things really started, it was 07. As we're going, I could see what, you know, we were calling this real estate thing here. It was neon obvious to here in Arizona, because we've been through these bubbles all the time. It's always Arizona or Vegas or something, you know. So we're just going, God, and this had probably at least three times in my lifetime. It's a peak, and it's getting ready to dump again. Hello? Is mic on? You know, I just want you to know, real estate's going to take a dump in Arizona again. When? I don't know. But, you know, probably sooner than later. But when that happens, and of course they pull something else out of their butt and they start helicoptering literally money, you know, on the freeway, you know, like they've been doing. Yeah. You know, so the real estate is going to take a dump. When that does, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for land. And that's what I got, Donna. We've been keeping an eye on things. I'm going, keep an eye out here. It's going to go. And when it does, we're going to take advantage of this. But in the 07, as we were screaming, this was happening and coming, you know, people just were, they didn't know anything other than what the talking heads on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC were reading from the 3x5 bullet point card they got from what Rush Limbaugh said. You know, and I'm going, wow, what is your basis for this? Why do you think this? What is it? Well, because, you know, they regurgitate some bullet point or whatever. And you go, but why would that? And you go two or three deep and they're like, they don't know what the hell is going on. They had no idea. And I'm going, all right, well, I'm going to get an idea. This is
more two or three deep. They dropped the satellite feed on you.
Right. We're watching. We haven't seen the end of it yet, but they're trying to, Fox Business or whatever is trying to get Peter Schiff to say something. I guess what they were going for, it seems like the whole thing was Saudi Arabia is overproducing oil more than what they can sell. They can't produce. I mean, where are they going to store it? You know, they'll sell it. It's like free in the ground. They'll get less for it. You know, what do they care, you know? And the problem is they're going, well, they're really purposely driving down. All the fracking guys are going to be out of the business. Russia's going down. This is the reason. He goes, well, what difference does it make? He goes, it's consumption. Nobody's doing it. I mean, hell, you would think that they would consume more. They would get it. They would do. So he's going to another economic. He's not saying what they want him to say. Oh, just turn him off.
Yep. Flip the switch. Oh, satellite dropped him. Sorry.
Yeah, not allowed. You know, so, and that's one thing that you and I have both experienced too. We in politics, and you run for Congress, you ran for city council, I've done all my crap, and we do, and these issues keep coming up. It's every election cycle, we're all going to die from fill in the blank or water or fuel or, you know, kind of food, something, you know? And everybody's ignoring the elephant in the room of them just, you know, this mass produced Walmart food of the Franken, whatever the hell, you know? It's like, yeah, we'll do it ourselves, thank you. At least learn. And all during this time, you look at these cycles, and they always are right when alternative energy starts to get a hold, or you don't need the subsidizer, or people are just getting it because of the autonomy and freedom it gives them, or they're doing, you know, the technology starts to get, and here comes the gigafactory, and electric cars, if I don't have to be freaking working on carburetors all the time, driving me freak, I hate that. You know, the mower out there, I get that thing electric, and I do in charge and sitting in my shed, kind of, I don't have to be worrying about somebody put too much oil in it, and it's spitting out and not working, I take that spark plug out, and bleh, all the oil, and I'm going, electric. I'm electric. Give me electric. Done. Done. So I can see that when it starts to get advancement, oil prices go down. You know, flush out all of these, you know, whoever's doing the alternative, whatever. But I don't think that's happening this time. I think people are of the mindset that they're seeing the freedom of not being tied to this fossil fuel crap anymore. And the efficiency, when you got a Tesla out dragging a Corvette Stingray, I'm going, and your reasoning is what? You know, and it's what? Well, there isn't one. So they're going to dodo birds, done, buggy whips.
Yeah, it's, you know, until they start going, you know, they'll come up with another tax credit thing to get everybody driving big 3/4 ton V8 454, you know, motors that can use gas again. And
the Democrats
and stuff.
Vote
and,
for it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, you know, because now they got the whole environmental thing. You know, they went down that whole, like, oh, we got to hug baby seals and it's bad for the environment. And, you know, they're not going to be able to undo that. People are like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's always been my contention is like, not that I'm a big baby seal hugger kind of thing, but it's like, you know, I should do everything I could to at least not use the earth as my own personal trash can if I don't have to. So, I mean, if there's a better way of doing it, market drives it, not because of, you know, I don't need government tell me you're bad because you consume. I just try not to consume because it's moral thing to do. You know, I think that's a far better argument when you do this whole environmental thing.
Yeah, it was going that way, and libertarian philosophy was reigning even in the 60s because they were using the courts in class action lawsuits of you're polluting my whatever. When they're going, hey, well, it's nobody saw the groundwater, you know, so what, the river's on fire. I mean, you know, yeah. And because there was, you know, no responsibility. It's all this corporate, you know, personhood of go sue him, and it's not that nobody's responsible, you know, this kind of thing. Well, what happened, there was a lot of lawsuits and class action and court cases and so on to not, you know, protect the environment. No, to protect the environment of the guy that owned the property next door. You know, the people in the city that your kids are polluted, kind of, you know, the Aaron Brockovich kind of you lying sacks of snot. So as you do that, all of a sudden, wow, we're getting inundated. We got to create an EPA to protect the industry. Well, here comes Nixon with the EPA because they love the people. Bullshit. You know, that whole thing was to provide for a level of pollution that they said was legal. And we went through it here, Brown and Bain. Remember, mm-hmm. Judge Buttrick, you know, was one of the attorneys representing Motorola. And it was a big deal. It's going to trial, and it's a pollution Superfund side of you. Got to clean it up, and oh, my God. And the EPA changed the level and go, ah, this is not pollution anymore. It doesn't count.
Yep.
We don't care how many cancer clusters or whatever. Doesn't matter. Because we just said new number. Number changed. So we, you don't have any circumstance the government's going to do. I can't give you 15 gazillion stories. It's all bullshit, you know. So I'm looking for, I don't care. I just want to be able to survive and thrive and, you know, like not too hot, too cold and, you know, eat and drink and stuff, you know, and have the time. You know, Keith is really good at this. Keith McAnarchist. He goes like this. He says, they've taken away all our rest. There's no time to rest. Be creative, just chill, just sit, you know, to think. You know, they've removed rest from our lives. We're always a tax slave. We're always a
idle minds. Idle minds.
No, we don't want them thinking and stuff. We need them worried about surviving on Frankenfood. Well, we're going to keep, you know, doing what we're doing. And we're, you know, Bob and I, just, I mean, you know, we're like, got lives and kids and busy
play my
and
movie
stuff.
Play my movie.
Oh yeah, okay, well, I didn't know. Okay, let's see, can we do that?
Yeah, you should be able to.
Is it in this file?
Should be.
Oh, there it is. Okay,
MP4.
Well, just let it play and then,
yeah, at least it'll be in the archive.
Yeah, come on. Oh, there we go. Okay, what do you want to, you know, narrate it, or?
Well, I know I should be narrating. Can you hear the volume, what I'm saying on the video, or?
No, I don't want to hear that.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I'm showing
the air in the wintertime.
There you go. All right. See?
Yeah. Sometime it's pretty much directly overhead.
All right. We'll start it over if you want to do that. Well, why don't you just tell us? That way we can pause it.
All right. Well, I was just showing basically the southern exposure, where the sun comes up, where the sun goes down. Now we're going into the greenhouse. I'm talking about the heat exchanger over there in that little blue barrel back there. See my nice floor? Yeah, the floor is Hollywood, man.
I know. That is awesome.
Yeah, so it's like I say, I'm building a forever greenhouse. That's my little heat exchanger where I get the water coming in and out of the fish aquarium. And then basically the blue barrel has the water that goes through the solar collector, so I keep those two waters separate. So I got the two swirl filters. I'm vacuum dragging the water out of the fish into those barrels so that basically you can take the water up over the top.
Vacuum dragging, what do you mean, siphoning kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a siphon, but it goes up over the top so it can pull the water. So now I'm not pureeing my fish solids with a pump.
Oh, I see. Right? So instead of doing a sump pump to move the water on this particular one, you're just doing kind of a siphon so that you're not pureeing the solids,
right,
of the
so
fish.
So now my pump is on the upstream side or the downstream side of the sand filter vise in the fish tank.
Okay.
And I'm showing some of the vegetables. That's my mutant Swiss chard, kale, whatever the plant is.
That is amazing.
And I got a really nice, there's a really nice romaine there I was showing you just a second ago that I'm going to pick here. I think I'm going to wait till after Tonopah Rob comes out and sees it so I can show it off. And then I'm going to start picking some of the stuff because I got to pick the peppers. They're starting to turn red. They get really good when they're red, though.
What a lot of people don't realize is you're talking all this foliage and fruit and everything that you're doing here is only the, you know, probably 2/3 the size of a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's actually 2x3. Or actually, I think it's 18x3.
Three times. Now, 18 inches by 3 feet, three of those little tanks is producing all of this.
Yeah, it's like 6 foot by 3 foot if you looked at it. But all of that's, you know, I mean, there's some little tank wall kind of happy crap in there and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so it's 5 by 2.5.
Yeah.
10 square like feet.
Yeah, if that.
You know, and you're just, I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah, and it's.
And you're not even, you're just, that was just a test bed.
That was the test. Now this, like say, I'm once I get dialed in, you know, I'm talking about the little reflective stuff there and how it's on the south facing wall. Because you can kind of see, you know, now the way the glazing is, and I think I pan over to show you where the glazing is. See, all the sun comes through that all winter long.
That is really clear. Does so it stay that clear?
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. And so it's going to reflect off of that reflective thing and really bathe any of the plants on the other side of that greenhouse and a lot of extra sunlight. So, you know, so I had my swirl. That's going to be the, like I say, that's going to be my big NFT. I mean, not my NFT trough. That's going to be my floating rafts. And then I'm going to run NFTs, basically, you know, the gutters down along that whole side.
I'll NFTs.
Nutrient film technique.
Okay.
And basically, I'm going to run them down the whole sides of that greenhouse. I'll just hang them
off.
I
didn't know what you're talking about. I got to look at this NFT thing.
Yeah. Well, you have some out in your garden. It's that zigzag PVC pipe thing. That's NFT.
Oh, you mean just water flow over the root stuff?
Yeah.
I have that.
Yes, you have that.
Water flowing over the root stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
NFT.
All right.
And then I'll put some wicking beds in.
Are you going to put it inside here? Or
yes.
Are you gonna do it?
No. Everything's inside. This is going to be an enclosure.
So would you do another trough like that and just try the wicking bed with that? Because that looks like that'd work.
Well, I'm debating whether I'm going to do that. I already have a little trough thing I bought because, you know, it all comes down to money. So I already have a little trough that I'm going to try doing carrots in for the wicking bed. And then I'm going to do some betel buckets. And betel buckets are kind of like little mini individual plant wicking beds.
Well, I do have that out there. It's those planters, you know, Gina and Donna put in some, you know, onions and tried.
And do they have it flow or do you just juice them a couple times a day?
Do I have them what?
Do they ebb and flow, or do they just have water pouring?
No, they just throw water in there whenever and kind of fill in wicks. It was a test.
Yeah.
You know, and it's working. See, we tested a bunch of stuff. We didn't, you know, we did. I got a radio show, man.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, and I'm building greenhouse. It takes time. Now, there's a couple of websites I go. This guy, he's basically, you know, some Louisiana hillbilly. You know, talks like a hillbilly, but he's got it going on. Got a greenhouse with a bunch of these beto bucket wicking bed things, and he's producing some food. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try that out because it's doing root crops, right? You know, starch crops, carrots, turnips, potatoes, those kind of things. You know, you can't live on lettuce and spinach and, you know, I mean, I'm really going to try, if not this year, first part of next year.
Carrots are miracle food,
I am going to try to live off my property. I'm going to go and...
For how long?
Until I go, I got to go have an ice cream cone. I'm just going to see how long I can go. You know, if I go a week and then like, screw it, I got to go get a Big Mac. That'll be a week, but I'm just going to see how long I can go.
How long do you think would be a test? I mean, it'd kind of have to be year-round and see what kind of surplus you got.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm going to, part of this year, starting at the first of the year, I'm going to start planting, and if I can get some root crops going, I'm going to can and, you know.
See what
so,
you can do.
And so if I get to the point where it's like, you know, yep, it's August, and I have a cabinet full of beans and potatoes, I'm going to eat beans and potatoes. I'll be, you know. I'll be
healthier.
Miserable. Yeah, I'll be healthier. I'll be miserable. Oh, yeah, I'm tired of beans and potatoes. Sure, can't wait till the cantaloupe crop comes in. Kind of, you know, I'm being bad.
You
I'm
know,
gonna,
that's the way it
I'm
used to
gonna,
be when I was a kid.
Absolutely. So I'm going to try to do that. And you know,
it was like strawberry season. Yeah. Now it's like, that's what Ecuador's for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, yeah, we just ship the stuff in. It never rots because it's GMO strawberries. But they're red and they taste kind of like strawberries. And you know, just because it makes weird plastic hair grow out of your arm.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
You know, people, I mean, this actually is
happening. It's a small price to pay. It's a small price to
pay
for.
What are these? What's this cotton? You're pulling threads out of your skin.
And it's like,
GMO. Nope. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, it only happens to a couple of people.
Or the nylon coming out your butt.
Yeah, it's, minor price to pay that the food you're eating has to be classified as a pesticide.
Right. The there's so much area that you have. I mean, you could be doing some farming like Tonopah. You got about the same plot as Tonopah Raw, yes. But you could produce the same amount of food fraction of
the water. Don't have the water. This is going to be a big water test. That's why I got to get that big water tank stood up so I can get a surge volume of water for the May-June July timeframe.
That's another thing. You had a cistern kind of building in the ground, a place to capture the wash. It rains once, you got enough water last year for freaking ever.
Yeah, I haven't done too much with that yet until I get that big tank stood up.
Okay, but I mean, you know, that's the future.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's one thing that you were doing the calculation, Mr.
Always got
Algebra.
A project.
He's doing a calculation on what he needed for the trees. He's going, yeah, I can't really produce enough water, you know, in my well, that the way, you know, how many gallons a day can you pump that thing?
About 750.
750 gallons a day, and then it, what, starts to dry up?
Yeah,
or
yeah, eventually,
or
yeah, eventually, pretty soon, if I'm doing that. Pretty soon, or more than that, pretty soon I'll only get 600, and I'll only get 500, and I'll only get 400. Yeah, the well won't cover.
Okay, so because you're higher up on the valley kind of thing. But anyway, so 700 gallons a day is, you know, but we go out to Revis Mountain School up there, Bigfoot, you know, Peter Bigfoot out there.
Where that's gone?
What? I just saw him at the Prepper Fest.
Oh, yeah? Well, I would have to talk to him. I was talking to some of the guys at work, and they were, this Revis Ranch thing. And they go, yeah, it's been taken over by the Forest Service, or they finally drove them out or something.
Really?
I don't know.
So. I got to check on that. I don't think so. Hmm. You know, I mean, I don't know, at least a little what he's got. But he's going through 20,000 gallons a day in the summer. I mean, it's something stupid.
Yeah.
So you're doing a calculation. You go, I'm going to need more water if I want to be all. Well, it was before you were doing aquaponics. You needed more water. So now this may be a water thing. You're not losing that much. But the that would take one or two rainstorms a year to fill up your lake of underground whatever.
Yeah, we get plenty of water here. It just comes all at once.
And it's, you got to retain it. You got to capture it. You got to find the low spot and do it, which is another project. Another project. But you know where you're going to do it.
Oh, yeah. I already got the hole dug. I just, you know.
Another project.
Pond liner. I mean, boys need to get older, more slave labor. Kind of, you know, that kind of.
But you have the place to do it. See, that's one of the reasons why I'm looking at Tonopah as one of the places to do it, because there's water. Plenty of solar. I mean, you don't have to worry about that. And you've definitely, you know, showed it can be done. And you're not in the most ideal situation. You're the ideal situation for your view. Now, your ideal situation for, I want to be right here, but, you know, a little bit further down, you'd have a lot more water, but I'm like, damn it, I like the view, man.
Yeah, I probably could even put a well down the front side of the property and get twice as much water as I'm doing.
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, which way you may very well do. That was another thing we were talking about, is just getting the ability to drill our own well. You know, I want to finish this, but I got to run to the bathroom real quick. Go ahead and tell the people about how much water in the flow and doing your cistern thing. You know, describe to them what you're talking about and how big and the dimensions and how much water it retains, why you needed it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's if you go out on the land when we have these torrential rainstorms, you know, the water just basically runs across the desert. It's why you hear people, you know, they show films of flash floods and stuff. The water just runs off. It all runs down to a low point on the property before it goes off the property and, you know, down whatever wash it goes to and eventually makes it to the Colorado River and the ocean. That this low point in the property, if you just basically dig out a little pond or a retaining area where the water kind of pools, then you can kind of take the water and pump it back up to the hill to a cistern and keep it for the summertime. So you get a couple times during the summer, we'll get these torrential rains, or during the spring, or right now, wintertime, it's raining pretty good. You get plenty of water out here. It's just being able to maintain and have the water for the time of year you need it. Or, you know, the water-intensive time period because of the cooling needs for the house with the vap coolers and, you know, just the plants need water. It's really much May, June, July kind of time frame. And then a little bit in August for the trees and stuff. I don't really do a whole lot of gardening, although it'll be interesting to see how much water the aquaponics uses, because I'm going to do that year round. But part of the reason I went to the aquaponics is it's counterintuitive that you're, you know, farming fish and plants, but it actually uses a lot less water than conventional dirt farming, because you're not having near the water loss to just percolation in the ground or the evaporation off the ground. What water you are using is all pretty much focused on the fish and the plants. So it's actually more water efficient to do aquaponics than it is to do dirt gardening. So it's counterintuitive that you're doing all this water work with fish and plants, but it's a lot less water. So that's one of the big reasons I'm doing the aquaponics thing, is because of my water needs.
Well, you still need water even for just your fruit trees, you know, citrus and everything. You need
more
water.
That's the thing. You know, yeah, you don't want them to, you know.
So you need a bigger tank, you know.
Jerky zombies, you know, yeah, you got to have water.
Well, the other thing I'm interested in is, what's the law on you capturing your water? Is there some stroke dash form shiny badge saying what you can and can't do?
I bet you there is.
Probably. But we're not looking. I just don't care. You know, so that's, you know, and that's the one thing, some of the different pieces of property that we had walked and looked at. And that was another thing. People, they look for flat and so on. And I'm kind of like looking for a little bit of topography. You like having a little wash here, a little bit there, kind of a bridge for that, a storage of a line of the whatever kind of, you can make use of your topography. And that's why I like about Morristown, Wickenburg, northwest of Phoenix, Sun City out past up there. It has more topography you can kind of play with. It's just like you doing the siphoning thing on your aquaponics deal. You know, if you engineer it right, you get away with one pump. And that was one thing that we had, because we had the holding tank in the aqua dome up there has a sump pump. Then you got the pump that you're doing from the fish to get up to that tank. And then we had the aerated or the airlift pump. And so I'm going, which way can I get and use one pump?
So I'm really struggling with right now is the deciding where I want to put the pump. And I definitely want to get it out of the fish thing, because I believe a lot of my debris that was forming in the sand filter was just pureed fish solid, you know. And if I can get that to drop out in the swirl filters, I won't have to backwash that filter as long. Because I've backwashed this filter in a test, and it's not quite as quick as the other one. It's bigger, so it takes a little more time, a little more water flow. So
it works as well.
Yeah, it works as well, and it collects the stuff, and you know, so it's all good. But I just, you know, I don't want to have to clean it as often if I can drop the solids out first. So I wanted the pump to definitely be after the filters. So the way I have the system designed, as long as there's water going into the fish aquarium or into the fish tank, it will overflow through that siphon into the swirl filters. So basically, as long as that protects my fish, if I have a downstream break, as soon as the fish tank level drops at all, the system stops. So that's why I get up the toilet bowl float to make up for evaporative loss, or the system will stop. But where I want the pump, do I want the pump to be at the very bottom of all the plants and pump it into the fish thing, or do I want the plants to be higher than the fish thing and then have the pump after the sand filter pumping it to the plants and then the plants drain to the fish?
What do you think?
So, I don't know. I'm still trying to, you know, I don't want to have everything being shoulder height. You know, that defeats purpose. I want things to be, you know, convenient, basically waist height. So I'm torn between that. That's going to be my next big decision, is how much can I gravity and how much do I got to pump?
You know, what I really like is this, that trough thing.
Yeah, and it's the way it's sitting right now at the height that it's at. If I have that just gravity fill after the sand filter, it will be about 3 inches below the top lip. Static head, it would be equalized with the fish tank at about 3 inches below the... So I could probably have that without a pump. I can just have it drain. You know, if I have the stuff after the sand filter, go to that and then have it drain to a sump that pumps into the fish thing. I can have the pump at the very end. But I'm, you know, with the Beto buckets and the NFT channel and the wicking beds and stuff, I'm still going to need some of that water to be pumped into the plants that have to drain back. But
kind of missing it. Where was it?
Right there.
No, but I was looking at the picture to where it was.
Oh, that's
it's in the
movie.
No, okay, that was in
the movie. Is all the good stuff.
Right. The I want to look at that. We got to hold on batteries. We didn't even talk about these batteries. Okay, tell me the story about nickel. This is why I started doing the carbon nanotube thing and everything when you told me about this.
These nickel iron batteries.
You know, and I'm going, yeah, I remember. You know, they just need more surface area, because I know these take up a lot of space and they're heavy. That's why they're not like in your your watch. You know.
Yeah. Hell, you know, Edison, basically they came up with traction batteries. Edison was one of the big pioneers of electric cars. You look at, you know, what he was really after. He was really, you know, this is back when, you know, the Model T and all that was, I mean, they electric cars were a going thing before, you know, Elon Musk. They back in.
Yeah, it was like a good decade. It was competition between those Standard Oil Rockefeller or Edison Electric.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were the electric. So these were Edison's answer to traction batteries. And they still use these big batteries in, like.
What batteries?
Traction. Anything.
What does that mean?
A battery that supplies. Energy for motion, for driving wheels, for like a train and stuff. They just call them traction batteries. Yeah. It's just a term that you use for motive batteries for motive power. So he was into building traction batteries for his electric cars, and they still use Edison cells for like underground mine cars, you know, the little buggies that the guys lay down in and scoot around in coal mines and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Electric batteries, because you don't really want to rerun a whole lot of internal combustion engines down inside a mine. So they still use a lot of electric vehicles, and they use this technology. These traction batteries are nickel iron. And what it was is they last, supposedly, they last forever. There's still people out there that are reconditioning old Edison cells.
Some
are made back
new
in the
cases,
yeah, back in the 60s and 70s when Edison, because Exide bought the final nickel iron battery factory from Edison Electric or whatever it is, they bought them and promptly shut them down.
You need lead acid.
Yeah, if you read the history of lead acid, some of these old Edison cells is, you know, 30, 40 years old. There's a company out there that basically they're...
In Wisconsin.
They're taking them apart. They cut them open. They clean them all up, and they put them in a nice new case, and they re-put the electrolyte in them, and the batteries are still functioning just fine. Because they don't wear the plates out like lead acid batteries. Lead acid batteries, the chemistry in it is actually... changes the plate back to electrolyte, sulfate back to the plate, up. Back to the thing. Yeah. It's lead, you know, it's and eventually the plates just wear out. They collapse, which is typically why the batteries go bad. The plates junk up on the bottom and short the plates out, and they just, like, say, the old terminology, lead acid batteries don't go dead. They're murdered. People don't treat them right, and they don't last very well if they're not treated with kid gloves.
You had all kinds of sensor doing temperature, baby sitting, refurbing.
Yeah, I was still mean to my batteries, though. Really? I use my batteries pretty hard. And
That was another thing. I want to talk about this. Yeah, as you're looking at the picture here, these are pretty tall. They're heavy batteries.
Yeah, they're about knee high.
Okay, so they're, you know, like knee high, about the size of the top, the rectangle is about the size of a big battery, but they, you know, like, you know, 2 feet high almost, yeah. You know. And so these are heavy. These are big. Why don't you load them up? I mean, you need your little pulley winch and crane and kind of down into the, which is one of the motivation for doing this. You're going, two things. One, I'm getting older, lead acid rechanging out sucks. And two, that when the zombie apocalypse comes and I need batteries, there ain't going to be any.
Yeah, you know? They'll be out there scrounging Mad Max and batteries out of cars on the freeway somewhere.
So you get these. Now, the nickel iron, as you put these in there, the one question was, how many? What amp hours do you need? Well, you get 1,000 amp hours in lead acid. Well, you can only discharge it down like halfway before you start really jacking up the battery. So that you got to get 1,000 amp hours to get 500, whereas in the nickel iron, you can just buy 500 because you can use it all.
Correct.
I mean, right.
I mean, yeah, there's a certain extent. I mean, you don't want to continually run these batteries flat either, but you get a lot more depth of discharge out of them without doing permanent damage to the battery than you do with lead acid.
So how many amp hours do you have here?
I can't remember.
Enough.
Yeah. 500, 600.
You need more?
I could always use more.
More.
More is always better. More.
You know what
it's
I
all
think?
About storage, man. Energy storage, which is one of the benefits of
nickel iron. I'm going to find out at CES. I want to see if there's some tech that, you know, something you try.
Nickel iron batteries. One of the benefits of nickel iron batteries, if you use a lead acid battery for more than a couple of months, they start to, you know, develop a history or a memory or whatever you want to call it. You can't just take a new battery and add it to the system without it screwing with the system. It usually either, jacks up the new battery and it does. This, you can mix old batteries and new batteries without there being a penalty paid. So I could double my battery bank tomorrow and not really pay. Yeah, these batteries are a couple of years old now. I could put a brand new system
in. So each one of those batteries cost about how much?
$300.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they're pretty pricey.
Damn. Well, is that going down? Do you know?
I haven't priced them yet. I think I just got the notice on my phone while we were over here is that I believe my last monthly payment on my battery bank is done. So,
really?
And so I could sit there and go, I think I want another one, and just double it and just continue making the payments for a couple of years. But
what was the deal on that? Because they weren't free, but there was some kind of a Chinese manufacturer through a distributor in Los Angeles that it was going to be more for the refurbed batteries that they were doing out of the mine stuff than buying new ones from China, that they have any kind of warranty or anything. But they also had finance, and you get a third and you get the rest financed over something.
That was the thing. It was mostly, you know, I just didn't have the cake up front to buy the battery bank. And I was in a point, my lead acid battery bank was, you know, going fast. I needed batteries, and I needed to, like, I didn't want to do the old technology again, and I didn't have the money to buy these cash. So I went with the guy who said, well, I can do it on time. So I went with him. You know, that's primary reason why I bought from
those. At what interest rate? I mean, how did you get nailed or what?
No, it wasn't bad. I can't remember what it was. It was no more than, you know, buying a friggin' car or something like that.
You going to get more?
Thinking about it. Because I really hadn't.
Why not?
Yeah, well, you know, it's basically...
What else are you going to do with your money?
I get something...
Greenhouse.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of retiring soon. Maybe I don't want to have, you know, bills.
Well, the more reason to get more. I mean, so you got the capacity. Yeah. You have to worry about it later when you're not working, you know?
It's all a trade-off.
Bob, it's like, what are you going to grow out there? Whatever you want.
I'm going to retire soon.
There will be no more testing.
I'm going to retire soon.
You know that gray cloud on the horizon? That's Bob. It's been a while. Yeah, nuclear power plant, and you're not allowed to be bad boy for like ever. That's good. I vote for your freedom, man. So this is a 10-foot high. This is a 10 by 10. It's lighted really well. The sun must be coming through that trap door good.
Yep.
So you have the see, that's one thing to where you're really head and shoulders bunch above a lot of people is you already know how many amps am I pulling, how big an electrical line do I need, how much power do I do, and kind of hook up and the right plug goes in the right positive negative kind of people don't die. So when I'm do I go Bob?
Yeah, it's
you first, man. Plug it.
Yeah, and something, that information, even, not only does Bob have the information, that information's available if you go out and try to glean it off the internet. The internet knows all.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting to where I'm like, damn it, one more thing I got to learn. It's because I don't have the time. I like to get the time. It's really hit me hard. Probably had more influence on me than I anticipated when Keith said, they're just sucking all the rest out of us. There's no time to rest. There's no time to think. You're always doing something. I don't mind having a project that is an investment in I get more rest later, But that's really what this has all been about. It's about, I think, 2015. It's time. It's time for what? It's time to get more time. It's time to go and invest in just being able to rest more. It's time to be able to stockpile, I don't have to worry off the grid kind of. And Bob's been such an inspiration to so many of us because you moved out there, what years? Like 2000 or something?
Yeah, 2001-ish, right in there. Yeah.
I remember when it was just Moonbase Bob, and it was
It was raw desert.
Yeah, travel trailer with, don't open the door, we'll all die with a baby.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh. Robert was, he was sleeping on the nightstand next to the bed in the master bedroom of the trailer. That was his crib. He slept on the night table.
The master bedroom / kitchen table / kitchen.
Yeah, it was a small RV with, two teenagers, an adult pregnant wife, and three cats, on the end of a construction generator and a window shaker, and it was like the hottest summer on record.
123, 4 degree kind of, oh my God. I sit there and like, I remember you don't open the door.
Yeah, the gasoline pipeline broke and we couldn't get gas in Phoenix. I thought I was going to have to drive to Quartzsite to get fuel. It was crazy.
Oh, was
summer.
That when that happened?
Yeah. And that, you remember when that pipeline broke down in Tucson and you couldn't get
gasoline? Yeah, that was right when I was doing rehab as a kid. So that was the summer of 2003.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah, because Robert was born 2003, so.
Yeah, summer of 2003. That's when it was. So what's that? You're
he was
10,
born, he was born in 12 April.
Years.
Yeah, he was born in April, and we moved out there like June.
Yeah, so it was 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been 12 years.
Yeah.
About 11 12, and a half or something.
12 years, going on 13.
So this is, we've been experimenting for a long time. Bob and I, we do our stuff. So we, this is where I say, when you say, well, I hear anybody say they know something, I change the channel or whatever. I go, well, this is what we know, okay? We know that you can do it.
Yeah, I don't know it, I live it.
We're living it. So, yes, you can do it. And Bob is making as much as, because we happen to have this, pond here. We happen to have, the technology making the dome. We happen. And we starting to do this. Well, it really paid off for Chad and Endless Food Systems. We hooked them up with a lot of people that, you're kind of doing it. And then they're going to go see yours. I know Rob is going to be very happy to see your thing going on. It's going to make him feel a lot better. And he put a big investment in this. He'll probably easy $20,000 into setting up his, but it's an industrial commercial make money. His big problem is he, because of the bugs and ants and this and that and all the things that hopefully this will solve a lot of that problem, just devastated his last year's crop.
Yeah, I was hearing him talk, and I started looking at that Bagata bug that he was talking about. That's a invasive species, came from Africa, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, there's no natural predator. It just gets after your stuff, but it lives in the soil. That's why I want to have as little soil around my stuff as possible. I want to put all the pavers down in there and stuff like that so I can, because I guess, you know, you, from what he was saying, is like, you know, they can smell spinach and lettuce and, you know, and they're after it. They'll devastate it before it even comes out of the ground. And it's like, you know, one thing about having a nice little enclosed area like that, I just become the top predator. You know, I don't got to worry about like, oh, you know.
I win.
Yeah, he's like, you know, well, I got to have the wind direction and beneficial plants and, you know, beneficial harmful insects and stuff. And it's just me. I'm like, I'm going to be the beneficial harmful insect. You're in my greenhouse. You don't belong there. I squash you like a bug.
Literally. You know, I'm wondering if there are some predatories that you can, you know, and you can contain them. They live in there, like, you know, praying mantis.
Yeah,
or
if I wanted that stuff. You know, I've been out there a couple times. I had these, like, green worms that were attacking stuff. It's like, I just, okay, for the next hour, I'm on green worm
extraction.
That
happened here.
Eradication.
We had the tomatoes first, this last crop started coming in. Big, fat, green, where the heck those things were.
As big around as your
little finger.
Yeah,
they're massive. I'm like, what the heck? I don't know what they call them, tomato worms or something. Yeah. They like tomatoes. So they go in there, and so Gina and Donna.
Peppers, too.
Yeah, they just went in and just started picking them off. You know, as they come in for a few days, as they hatch or whatever, they just picked them off, and then they're done. And the benefit of having birds daily, I put in the bird netting, is before the birds would get them.
Yeah.
And I kind of, hey, there's a bunch of birds in there eating my stuff, so I put the bird netting on, and then I got a worm problem. So I'm just going, man. You know, but that was a one day thing, and they never came back.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you got a little enclosed, you know, wouldn't want to have, you know, 40 greenhouses you got to go pick, then you got to like get help. But you know, I mean, this one greenhouse, I think I can, you know, focus on being top predator once a week and kind of keep things under control.
Well, we also did. There's a bunch of stuff, you know, Donna. Yeah, you know, we learned. You know,
maybe got the worms taste good.
You never know. You first. We had, they taste like green leaves they just ate, and then they're poop. The making bread, we've done, Donna's doing the soap. Donna has done different lotions and potions. And so, I know, is that stuff kick ass? No,
you know, something, I come in working on the generator or something like that, and I get greasy hands. That is the best grease cutting soap. I mean, I can take dishwashing liquid, which is supposedly made for cutting grease, and wash my hands with it and try to get grease, you know, or oil off my hands I've been working. Doesn't cut it. Doesn't come close to it. I take soap down. I got a little bar that I keep at the kitchen sink, and I sit there and just a tiny little bit, and boom, grease be gone.
We had to get loaded up again, you know, because she was giving away a bunch of stuff for Christmas and everything. We ran out, and she's in there making soap. And she's going to be doing more this week, too. It's getting really popular. I've been using it for a year and a half. And the biggest thing is, as much as it cuts the grease and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't mess up your hands. I mean, your skin. You know, I had every winter about this time for ever, I'd always get patches of dandruff. You know, I get, you know, since I've been using that soap, nothing. You know, just, you know, all this dry skin, dandruffy kind of done. And I'm going, all right, I like that stuff. And the other thing she uses, it's a lie. You know, you got to wait like a couple of weeks before you can actually use the bar of soap for whatever reason it does to whatever. And, I like that formulation. And it doesn't mess up anything. It works great and leaves your skin really good. And I use it for shampoo and everything. I mean, every nook and cranny is getting that. But, you get to flavor it too. And Donna put extra, we got our own little distillation, you know, mint oil making eucalyptus thing over here and a little Breaking Bad experiment. And I can put a bunch in there, but I really got it. And then the aquaponics, we're growing the mint, which goes stupid, by the way. I mean, you know, it's just.
I hate mint. I killed my mint.
Why?
It was taken over.
No, we took it.
I just had to get rid of it. It was.
We'll put it in the bag and we put it in the thing and we make mint oil essential mint.
It's gone. I killed it.
All right. Well, we take it and we do that, but it was cinnamon.
I put some in my alcohol and I still have some of that, and it did extracted all the green and the minty flavor out of it and stuff like that, but. You know, it was just taking over my grow beds for lettuce
stupid.
Production, and I was like, yeah, you're gone.
Well, that was another thing. For Christmas, Bob makes his, was it apple pie?
Little apple pie.
Yeah, you know, moonshine. That stuff is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like drinking candy. That's scary, sneak up on you, put you down stuff. You know, should we take it to the party last night? No. because we had it in here. You know, you had two different kinds. You've done different kind of whiskeys and so on. And I'm telling you, I go through it. Well, especially knowing that you did it, you know, and I feel better about it. But I'm going, if anything that you've made, I've never had better, except some of your early generations of Bob beer. That, you know, we had to dial that in. You know, you kind of got that up for us, but until it got to Bob beer, which was really
more good. Isn't always better.
Oh, you were going for volume?
Well, no, it's your strength. It's like, oh, if that is good, double will be better.
Yeah, no.
That's not always the case.
Well, some of it was just kind of wow. I mean, actually, I remember spitting some stuff out.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, hey.
I was going, yeah, no. Check me off as a no for that one. But once you got it dialed in, I'm like, man, you got award-winning beer. Oh, I got to tell you this story. Bob goes out and he curious of how good his beer stacked up against. So he goes out and he puts it in, and they go, wow, you took third place in this and great and everything, you know. But if you got it in the right category it was supposed to be in, you would have got first place. You know, it's kind of... So he's got award-winning beer. Now, Bob's got to go to the bathroom real quick. I did, too. I'm about to bust it. But I'm glad we get to share with you guys on this stuff. You see that we're actually doing something. And it, oh, yeah, let me do... Okay, well, I can do this. Go into my side room there. Okay, yeah, this is a live shot of this fish pond back there, and you can't really make it out, but it's got a covering over it, you know, that, you know, bubble plastic stuff kind of insulated, but it was reducing the surface area to oxygenate the water. It's all about surface area. That's what the bubble thing for. It's not like the air goes in. It's the surface area of the bubbles that, you know, allow the air to soak into the water. So, we got the waterfall going. Donna's doing the, you know, kind of aerate the water because the fish are going, give me some air. And but it cools it down. So we're trying to keep it warm. It's a balance. I mean, I ran out of time. I ordered all the stuff. I have the Mylar for the satellite thing and to put up the guy. But I'm just, you know, it's holiday. We're just busy. I mean, it's amazing we get as much done as we do.
I kept telling you months ago, you get your dish done. You get your dish done. It's coming.
Well, it is ready. I mean, I got everything, the components ready to do it, except for the Mylar. Because when I went and did the Mylar for, it wasn't clear enough. It was too wrinkly, you know, so it wasn't reflecting, you know, as good as it needed to on the manifold. I needed more of a mirror because I had pieces of mirror back there, but that weight on that thing was going to be like a dangerous hanging pieces of, you know, mirror above my head. I vote not, you know, so the Mylar thing would be better. And I'm looking, where can I get? Well, then I found the 7 mil. It's nice, thick, you know, it'll keep the shape. And so I'm going, okay, but I wanted the adhesive back, and I'm not sure this one's adhesive. It doesn't say, I'm not sure, but so I may have to do some contact cement on that waterproof wallboard stuff to create the, you know, the thing, but I really need to do it. So that'll be the next project. I, you know, this coming weekend or something, working on that. But Saturday is going to be, what are you doing Saturday?
Greenhouse.
Come out to the Breakfast Club and do your...
I have the boys. They'll run amok at the Breakfast Club, and, you know, they'll...
Moving,
you
know, targets.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's all about the boys, man. When I got the boys, it's all about the boys.
And you get to do, you know, well, you've been divorced a couple of years. And, you know, and Bob spends like every day. He is, you know, was it like 7 o'clock? You call him, say it every day. You're logging in. Oh, last night we were talking. They found, at their school, they have online assignment, grade of the whatever and homework thing. And you go, I see that you have a project. Let me see it. Damn it, Dad can see.
That's right. If they don't turn it in, I know the next day they're behind in their work.
But you've always made really good use of the time that they learn something. There's always some project, or they're going somewhere, or you guys come out here and we'll hang and do, and when they go to some of the parties and everything, they enjoy it. All the people know
your
voice.
This work on the greenhouse and stuff. Like, say, Dan, you know, totally un... Didn't pull it out of him. He just like, this is really cool, Dad. I want to be part of this more. You know, so I mean, you know, that idea getting him to do the YouTube thing. Oh yeah, he'll be all over that.
Good. He can teach. Well, you know, I one of the things that we're working on. A lot of people give me crap. Well, I Facebooked you. You know, I sent you a Facebook. Well, Maybe Donna might read her favorite.
And that's the thing. I just don't want to get into this whole social media thing. But I might be able to hook up and do a YouTube channel thing and start doing.
Well, what I am investing my time in is not that. It's the distributed network, made safe storage kind of, you know, off, you know, factum something else. You know, I don't mind investing in that. Because that is something they're not going to, and your channel's gone, and we don't like you, and you didn't pay the water, and you didn't, and all the pictures and videos and everything, and you sign here, it's ours now. I mean, you know that, I'm not. I just know better. I mean, we know what's going to happen.
I'm amazed with my phone, you know, this new phone I got, and almost every app is like, you know, and by accepting this app, you're allowing us to do
everything
access to
with
this is all us now. And I'm like, well, you got to be kidding me. You can't do it unless they basically use, you know. Yes, I totally agree.
I totally agree.
I totally agree.
I'm looking for the Linux open source kind of interface with, you know, phone, tablet, laptop, PC kind of thing. You know, I go, when they do that, which they've been promising forever, you know, when they do that, I'm all over it. But what they're finding out is a bunch of these elite geeks that say they can kind of, well, when they come out with it, it's not really that user friendly.
You're going to have to, you really want to be free, you're going to have to go to like China.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
You know, you're going to have to go to China or Russia or something like that if you want to be free.
Detroit. Go to Detroit. I'm going, yeah, where's freedom in the, from the ashes? Moscow, Havana, Detroit. You know, I'm thinking about Cuba. When I go down to Dominica, I'm wondering, I might, you know, try and book a little, you know, jaunt quick over Havana. Just say I did, you know, just to go, you know, and doing the show from Havana.
Yeah, well, okay.
I don't know how that worked, but, you know, I'm going, I would like to see, because I lived in Florida, and the Cuban influence there was big, especially in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And the culture, really, you know, the people are just leave me aloneist, you know, like everybody else. It's just whatever they're dealing with. And they are so innovative. In fact, they had so many hacks on technology, you know, turning the bicycle into an aquaponic pump of the, you know, the solar satellite, whatever the hell. You know, they're always hacking something. You know, they're like been running the same 54 Chevys for like ever, you know.
Yeah, I hear that's one of the big things. People are like, oh, man, we're going to be able to get all these classic cars.
Well, what they did is they had such success, this one guy's kind of a hacking thing, that they made a book, that it was a state-sponsored book that he put together that they distributed throughout the island for people to be able to make their lives better with all of this kind of, it was like an internet thing, you know, 101 ways to live better in a communist country. I mean, you know.
A paper internet.
Right, which is kind of what it was.
Paper Google.
So there's the world's going to be a lot different. And I think, you know, there's we've been doing this for a while, a lot of this stuff, and a lot of things that we've learned to do ourselves, and a lot of things I just assume not do. And a lot of it is just internal combustion, the new fitting hose brake elbow of $80 to, oh, it's just pissing me off. And this one plastic, I was talking to Barry last night, he has a plastic part in his door window thing of his BMWs that keep going out, just like my back latch on the Monteros. And the reason is because they have a bunch of these extra parts sitting in some shelf or whatever, but they're 15, 20 years old too, and they're just going bad because they're just sitting there. They're new, but they were made a decade ago, and they're just degrading in some way, making them brittle. So I'm going, can't we just scan these and 3D print and have the file forever, whatever? It would have saved me at least $400 that I've done on this freaking part on two Monteros, at least four or five. I asked Donna, how many times have we done this? At least four or five. And they're $80, $100 now. Like, screw you, man. So I'm like, I don't have the time to be jerking around with that. I mean, I'd love to have the time to learn this stuff, but the tech keeps changing so fast, I'm not willing to make the investment. So I talked to James Babb in Philadelphia, and I'm going, if you're interested in this, I'm willing to, you know, pony up, you know, some money for a scanner. If you can do, take the part out, glue it together or something, which Barry said he did too. He goes, I got the part. I just super glued it together. I mean, it won't work, but we'll send those two in there. You produce these. That's worth, hell, the price of the freaking scanner, man. You know, you'll save money already if I'd done that. Then you can do it in metal. They had Jay Leno up there doing this, you know, for his Duesenberg of the water pump cover of You're Never Going to Find. You know, it costs you weeks and thousands of dollars to have redone that I did overnight with my freaking thing. And I'm going, yep, this is where we're going. So the individual manufacturing of the widget of I'm going to whatever, but you have to have the concept, the idea for the schematic. Well, that's what Bob's done. and we're and producing the food. Now, it's a little bitty area, you know, but when are you going to start doing, I'm going to live off my garden?
When I get the rest of it set up and it's all green and lush and got stuff on it, and I can go, I'll start eating out of it when I find out that I'm eating off of it enough that it's like I'm still getting overwhelmed with it. I can go, I can do nothing but eat off of this, and then I'll give it a shot.
You know what that's like, though?
I'll see how long it is before I need to go. I gotta have a Big Mac. Take you know, me to Subway.
He's gonna wait till he gets all Lut and dude to start. You should do it like right now. Emergency! Hut, 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 hut.
You know, I thought about that. It's like, oh, I've just landed on Mars. Hi, quick.
Right. You know, because you know what it's like. It's like, if you wait till then, it's kind of like, I don't even start keeping score and bowling until I get my first strike. And after the free, okay, and now we're starting to keep score.
Yeah. Nah, you know, I contemplated that one like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that.
All right. Well, you know, thanks for spending the day with. I feel better because I feel better. You know, because we know we're going to, you know, we're Don and I are going to get serious about it. I'm just pulling the trigger, man. But I'm telling you, the cloud is coming over. I can feel it. You know, it's almost too late. At least we have a lot of, you know, knowledge and stuff. And the only thing that really I don't feel like it's too late is because I think opportunities to just, you know, take over land out there and all over the state here. There's plenty of land, and it's just going to be and take it. You know, a bunch of people speculated and bought it. Like people, you got Korea or something all around. You're buying up different land. They're just like, and we don't want it anymore. I'll take it for nothing. So there's opportunities with wells.
Yeah, no, there's some good land out there. It's got all the, they've got the utility and the well and the septic on it. You just, you know, bulldoze the shack off it and put a decent house on it, and you're good to go.
There was one out there we looked. It was, what is it, 3-4 bedroom. It had a wall and all that. And it was, what, $130,000 or something? It was something stupid like that. It was 5-10 acres. I'm going, get it, go get it, and it's gone.
Yeah,
no kidding. So, all right, so we're going to be looking to do this. We'll share with all you guys out there, you know, what we're doing, just so you know that, you know, there's something, you know. But I'm looking to make sure that we're not somebody's beast of burden. We can, you know, take it on ourselves. Peace.